Super Gamecast 64, episode 118. It's the best of 2018 awards, part one. Guys, the year has been building up to this. This extended, one could say, lengthy, one could say.
No, you're just bragging.
Journey into what 2018 had to offer as far as video games. Both great and bad, but mostly great. We have over 15 categories, because the final number has been ironed out. But we have many categories of video games to talk about before we get into everything.
You know, we actually ran out of numbers, so we had to use letters.
Yeah, so this is going to be the first game of the year talk where we our categories are marked with numbers.
You know what those first letters are, Matt?
What are they?
DJ.
That was a good one, Kevin.
Thank you.
I got to give you props on that.
Well, you said it was the best of the year, so I brought the best of Kevin.
Guys, this is Super Gamecast 64, episode 118. We're doing the best of the year award show. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, we got...
You already heard from me.
That's Kevin.
You already know.
Hi.
You already know about me.
I'm Tyler.
That's Tyler. And
games.
If you guys haven't, Jesus Christ, it's been a while since we've been back. This is a comedy show. It's also a video game show. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. This is also an explicit show. But if this is the first time you're listening to our Game of the Year or Best of Year Awards, if you didn't listen to 2017, these next few episodes are going to be a little bit different. We don't have a games section. We don't have a news section. We just have categories of games, nominees from those categories. We debate, you know, the pros and cons, and at the end we will have one winner and one runner-up from each category. Categories like best fighting game, best shooting game. Kevin, why don't you say a category?
Well, no, I was going to say something not category related.
Okay, well, you know what? Before we get into that, yeah, what do you guys say? Huh?
I know Game of the Year is a special time for all of us.
Yes.
You know, we get a lot of people that tune in that haven't listened to us before.
Yes.
So for those of you who are in that category, welcome.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. I love seeing new people always throughout the year. Everyone's downloading the Best of the Year awards. We like to bring the A game. Speaking of A game and production quality, I'm going to mention that after every category, there will be a selection of music, 30 seconds to a minute, depending on whether the track fits it, from our best music category. So as you're listening to the show, you will hear our nominees, and then at the end of the event, we will do a best music category and briefly talk about them and why we like them. But throughout the show, you'll hear the music. Kevin, you want to explain how we do like the debating around here as I wet my whistle?
Well, typically we introduce as a group the categories and the games they're in, and usually those lists are built of... not necessarily a collective list, but games that we've all decided to bring to the table, whether or not the other two hosts like it. So typically that results in a small argument.
Small
to large argument.
Yeah, I think last year was like 45 to 50 minutes that we had to edit out of me and you bickering about Zelda.
Yeah, probably.
That was a good one. We're tucking in.
We've matured, you know?
Sure.
2018 was a year.
It was a year,
yeah.
Huh?
2018 was the longest 5 years of my life.
But I think... I think what Kevin's trying to say is that there might be some hot arguments or debates, but we still love each other, and at the end of the day, the list is our representative list of the show.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it may be cold outside, but it is hot in this studio.
It's going to get hot.
It is hot in Topeka. Let's do this.
Yes, and without further ado, I couldn't end a season without saying that one last time. Let's kick off our first category. You following at home, you know what, in your brain, if you want to just pick your favorite... From the nominee list and have your own personal winner from our nominees. That'd be a weird thing to do, but you're like more than welcome to.
I would even encourage you to argue along with us.
Yes.
Kind of like a sing-along. Follow the bouncing ball. Except when you have a point to make, just pause the audio.
Yeah, exactly. You could just stop.
And just pretend that Tyler going, what the hell's wrong with you, is directed at you and not me for once.
And then if you listen in your car, you'll just look like you're yelling to either yourself or you're arguing with someone on your Bluetooth. People will be much more afraid of you on the road, therefore enhancing your defensive position.
Less traffic.
Exactly. So it's really a win-win situation here. As we pull into the fifth minute, you haven't heard a lot from Tyler. He's saving up the anger.
I think he's just waiting to get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, probably.
It is so difficult on this show.
It really is. Best... Well,
look at all that blank space for you to talk.
Most accessible game of 2018. I also want to say that some of these nominees, you might be thinking, oh, that came out in 2017. Well, that was early release here and there. Or at the end of the day, they're not strictly tied to the calendar year. There's been some talks of early access, whether or not it should have counted last year. From here on forward, it's anything that came out within the calendar year of 2018. And ultimately, if us as a show, we really, really played a lot of something that didn't come out this year, but took up a lot of our time this year, it might be recognized. So it's we play it fast and loose on some of the rules, but I would say 98% of these nominees are from 2018, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise Stardew Valley would win. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, that's if Kevin would have it his way, there would be no Best of the Awards. It would just be us jerking off Chuckle Ape, or whatever, Chuckle Fish Boy.
Chuckle Ape.
Chuckle Ape, yeah.
Most accessible games.
Concerned Fish.
Concerned most accessible. Fish. We had this pitched to us as a best game to play with your girlfriend or boyfriend, or best game to play with someone who doesn't play video games often. I like this category. I think especially as we move into a more technologically crazy era with games that are on multiple systems, you have to find a nice balance of a game that could be picked up.
Hey, I mean, there's an entire system, an entire console that's predicated on the fact of being able to play with two people on one.
The Nintendo GameCube. The best one.
Yep.
You bought two controllers and you played it. Most accessible games of 2018. Here are our nominees. We got four or five. I don't know. I can't really see. Super Mario Party. Kirby Star Allies, those first two, those are for the Switch, WarioWare Gold for the 3DS, and Tetris Effect for the PlayStation 4. As Kevin said, we're just going to kind of go down the nominee list, talk about them. If they don't hang with the other ones, we'll knock them off. At the end of the discussion, we'll have a winner and a runner-up. Oh boy, guys, it all hit me at once. Game of the Year 2018 is actually happening. Oh, let's start. Okay. Does anyone want to make a stake in this race? We're talking about most accessible. So the game's quality can be neither here nor there. As long as it's not a shit game, I think that'll make it good enough.
I'm going to go ahead and plant my flag in Super Mario Party.
Okay. Super Mario Party is a higher up on there. Kirby Star Allies is one that I played to completion and rather liked. Whereas WarioWare Gold is something that I've played a little bit. Well, I guess I've beaten the main game, but the main game is 45 minutes or so. Tetris Effect I've played zero of, but it's Tetris. And I think that's what, Kevin, you put it on the list? I think that's what you were going for with this?
I did.
Can you speak a little bit to how easy Tetris is?
Yeah, so you heard of Tetris.
What's that one? Who made that one?
Russia.
Yeah, well, I believe it. It's 2018.
2019.
Okay.
But it still feels like 20.
As I laugh and blow out the mic, that's going to make my edit crazy later.
So, you know, you play Tetris. Tyler, you probably have like generations of Tremolios that have played Tetris, probably.
Yes, several. At this point.
All of us probably have generations of.
Been out for a while.
So it's Tetris.
With really pretty colors.
Oh, very pretty colors.
It's got a really cool
little effects.
It's got
you go from space to the ocean.
Well, and it's made by the guy who made Rez and Lumines, so it's got that very like music is very, it's very, very tied into the experience. As you drop the blocks, it's on beat changes and stuff like that. I think Tetris Effect might hang for runner up, but I didn't play it, so I can't speak.
I watched Tyler play it.
It's still Tetris.
It's just Tetris.
Very pretty Tetris.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Very pretty
gorgeous
Tetris.
Gorgeous Tetris.
I guess then it comes down to you, Tyler. Tyler, do you think this is going to hang as a runner-up? Or would you plant your flag for a winner?
It's a one-player game.
Okay.
I wouldn't play a one-player game with my spouse.
Let's move on to... Yeah, okay. That is...
Thing is...
Tyler brings up a good point here. Sorry to cut you off, but there is a change between what is a most accessible game and what is the best game to play with somebody else.
Right.
To be fair, she is a watcher, and I am an anti-watcher. So if I wanted to play a game with her, I'd probably grab Stratego out of the closet.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd like to mention is the classic way of playing two-player, which is you try to beat each other's scores.
Taking turns?
Yes.
The old school. No. The Super Mario Bros. Way. All right.
Disgusting.
By that logic, let's go with it should be accessible and also be something you play with multiple people, because I think that's fair for what this category really is the heart of. I will then sacrifice WarioWare Gold. WarioWare Gold, I just want to talk about. This is a 3DS, you get it both retail, boxed, and digital, downloadable game. And what it is it has some multiplayer in it, but the mass majority of the game is aimed at a single player. And it is a... If you've never played WarioWare, it's hard to describe. It's similar to games like Rhythm Heaven, where you have these micro games, or, you know, they're all 5-second little mini games that are super weird and wacky. And what WarioWare Gold does is it compiles all the best, or, I mean, a lot of the micro games from the entire franchise's history, dating all the way back to Game Boy Advance, leading through to the Wii. There's tons and tons of crazy, awesome stuff in here. And it's really good to just pick up and play for 5 to 10 minutes. Me and Dan, my younger brother, we played some of the multiplayer where it's just head-to-head, you're playing the same micro games, and that's really fun. What I like to... Sorry, my throat is all dry today. is the... it takes the twisting minigames, it takes the touching minigames, it takes the simple use D-pad and A minigames and mashes them up all into one. Because as the series has gone on, it's appeared on the DS, it's appeared in the Game Boy Advance where it had a gyroscope kind of centric thing. So it's a bunch of these really weird micro games, and you're on your heels trying to figure out what you're trying to do, but at the same time, you only need one button. At the beginning of anything, it says, this is exactly how you're going to play these games. You just have to figure out from context. I guess probably it wouldn't also fall under most accessible because it is a little bit tough. So for somebody who's just jumping in, it'd probably be a little bit frustrating. But I guess the reason I put on this list is it's the most accessible at the base level of everybody is playing the same thing. And it's all very basic, one button. You're doing 5-second micro games. But just shouts out to WarioWare Gold. If you like mini games, like if you go to Super Mario Party for the mass majority of minigames and you just want that over and over and over, WarioWare Gold is a good one. But we'll knock it off the list because...
Don't do that.
You think we should hold it?
Yeah.
Okay. There is a multiplayer element.
Back in the dark horse.
It's
just to be controversial.
It is quite good. 3DS, we don't get a lot of like 3DS love on these episodes, I should say. And it's good. I love WarioWare. It's also a guilty pleasure of mine.
No, I really do like WarioWare. I've enjoyed the previous titles, I should say, so I probably would very much enjoy this one.
I'm really sorry for this cough. It won't persist, I promise you that. I will pause the podcast.
You're a fucking liar.
If I need to be. Kirby Star Allies, then. If we're not knocking WarioWare off, I think this is the one. Well, I guess we'll talk about Super Mario Party, but Kirby Star Allies. Who here has played it that wasn't me?
I watched one of my nephews play it for about 3 seconds.
Okay, that's the point I'm trying to make there. It's a nephew. A young nephew. All right.
I have not
my nephew's
it.
Four. I just want to be clear.
But Kirby is my jam pretty much always, and I'm sad that I didn't play it.
Okay, so this is one that you could maybe be sold on. I feel you. Kirby Star Allies is a game that I put on most accessible because at the foundation, Kirby is about sucking up. You suck up some things, you get a power. It's pretty easy to tell what kind of power you're going to get from the enemy.
You got two buttons. One of them is jump. The other one is attack and defend at the same time.
This one is co-op. And it also has your co-op partner. You can play as these really overpowered characters from the series past of Kirby. That's the whole Star Allies portion of Kirby Star Allies.
Oh. They follow you around.
Yeah, and they're really overpowered. This game is also incredibly easy. I think, I'm trying to remember if Tyler or Kevin, if you were part of the 4-man team, it was back at Rush's old place. We played Kirby's Dream Land on the Wii. It's easier than that. Because the game
was easy.
I'm trying to remember because I played it all in the span of like 2 or 3 days, completely co-op with my buddy in May. And I can't remember dying maybe once. I think the game also gives you a exorbitant amount of lives. The reason I say it's most accessible is because despite that difficulty, it's very fun. It's very colorful. They have a really cool Nintendo-esque way of using colors in some... I hate to say Nintendo-esque, but you know how sometimes you play a Mario game and you're like, wow, this is a really cool-looking level in a way that very rarely Nintendo games are the only ones to achieve.
Right.
Same kind of thing for Kirby Star Allies, in that cosmic sort of Kirby fantasy way.
Real distant background, stuff's going on in it. You know, like
inventive kind of looks. to some, it might be boring, but I think this is almost the perfect kind of game to play with your girlfriend, boyfriend, someone who doesn't play video games a lot, because that's exactly what I played the whole thing through co-op. It was with somebody who had played video games and is quite good at video games, so we were both like, oh, this is pretty easy. But if I was thinking of a Switch game to play with somebody like a young niece or nephew, and if it wasn't a Lego game, probably it would be this. In comparison to Mario Party, only because I think Mario Party has the complexities of a board game on top of the minigames. I think the minigames are way, way more easy to understand, especially with the updated kind of practice screen you have now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Kirby is an easier game overall.
I'm convinced.
Tyler
is also convinced.
Okay.
But I was never in this for Mario Party because I think Mario Party has the tendency to end friendships.
That doesn't mean it's not accessible.
No, but
he brings up a good point.
You got to judge it based on the category.
Not a team game.
I think the category has now become easiest game to get into, but also a good co-op game for a group. I think that's I called it most accessible without really thinking about the foundations of where we got the suggestion from. The co-op element, I think, is a big portion.
Let me play devil's advocate.
Okay.
What better thing to get passionate over than a game as a group?
That's fair. And competition, while healthy, does spark, mm-hmm. you know, passion.
I think a lot of groups aren't as aggressive as ours. Go out there and say,
I'm assuming everyone's us. That's right.
Yeah.
I think that
no one is angry as us.
I think that we do have a spicy group of friends, but I think that Mario Party does historically bring out that kind of hatred in the same way that Monopoly can take middle class white families and throw them through flipping tables.
Nick knows what I'm talking about.
So if Tetris Effect goes, we have Super Mario Party, and here is where you get into the nitty-gritty of Game of the Year contestion. Is that a word? No, it's not.
Contention?
Contention. Is that we come down to these hard decisions. I'm kind of the make-or-breaker on Super Mario Party, because while I didn't own it, I did play quite a bit of it. And in my brain, it's hard. I would be willing to give Super Mario Party the runner-up, because I think what Kevin is saying, the argument you make of it's a nice game to bond over, in the same way Overcooked 2. I would almost put Overcooked 2 on this list for that reason, but yeah. Overcooked 2 is very hard.
Yeah.
So that's why it's not on this list.
It is just difficult.
Do this.
It is difficult.
That's hard.
But the controls are simple.
Yes. Yeah, but I think it should be welcoming to somebody who doesn't play games often.
Right.
And now that I'm thinking about that, me and my partner did beat Overcooked 2, and that's probably like the sixth game she's ever beaten. Maybe. Does Overcooked 2 win?
I'm down.
I played that this year.
I didn't play that.
Okay. Hold the fucking line.
A late challenger approaches.
I don't feel comfortable about saying Overcooked 2 should be played with your non-gamer friends, because at least the person I beat it with, she has played and beaten other games. Knows her way around a game pad. Whereas Mario Party, you can hand it to somebody and say, here's this small Switch controller. You literally use one button.
Shake it until you win.
It's the same kind of thing of Star Allies, where it's really two buttons. Whereas Overcooked is two buttons, but it's also like, well, no, it's a dash button, a pickup button, a throw button, a chop button. Like, yeah, Overcooked 2 is really good. If you have played games with your partner before, and you like playing them together, maybe you played some Super Mario Party and you bonded in the same way, Overcooked 2 is going to give that same quote-unquote bonding, aka wanting to kill each other. I don't think it belongs on this list, but I almost put it on there. Okay. Tetris Effect comes off.
Yep.
Well, okay, what are your thoughts on WarioWare Gold?
So I'm willing to give it to WarioWare over Super Mario Party. Because it's in short bursts and you can learn quickly.
I think Super Mario Party is also still 10 turns.
You just described the same two games, though.
Well, so my experience with WarioWare is that you just play games until you're bored. Like, you just play
games. That is kind of how it works. You just keep playing the same micro games over. This one has a lot of variety, but it is kind of depending on how good you are, a WarioWare thing can be 20 seconds or it can be 5 minutes.
Right.
But it is only at max ever like a handful of minutes.
So Super Mario Party is a board game with a finite number of turns that you're competing to win while you've been competing to win these mini games. I just think it's an extra element that is more complex than WarioWare. I think it's easier.
Counterpoint. Category is not the simplest game, it's the most accessible.
And to
fair.
The thing that's keeping me back off of WarioWare, even though, dude, I'm the one who put this on this list and I love it to death, is that as far as co-op or playing with somebody else, you have to have two copies of the game, two separate systems, and you can only play one mode in which you play the same head-to-head games against each other. So it really is a single-player game in the mass regard.
I would argue insofar, like...
Well, that's what we needed. We needed to know that it's
only co-op under those conditions, right?
It's so, conditional cooperative,
right?
It's that'd accessible be... in the way of if you want to buy two copies of a game and two
3DSs. I mean,
it's accessible. It's accessible in the fact that you can learn it easily and you can pick it up quick and it's brief. But it doesn't hold up on the co-op end.
The other thing I would like to point out is that WarioWare is just streamlined Mario Party.
It's like Mario Party if you injected it with a whole bunch of speed.
Oh, and it's then like removed Mario the board Party game. If you just took the board game out.
I think this should be between Super Mario Party and Kirby Star Allies for what wins and what's runner up.
My nephew also plays Super Mario Party, so I really can't weigh in on that one.
It's as far as your nephew goes.
Yeah, like as far, because I mean, what better way to judge the accessibility of a game than whether or not a four-year-old can competently play it.
Yes. And I'm not just trying to think of people in relationships, but also, you know, young groups of friends. You're starting off, you know, when we were young kids, you pick up a game, and if it's on N64, you think you're going to sit around at a sleepover, play it with your friends.
Next thing you know, you have a blister in the center of your hand from rotating the
joystick. Or the game's too hard to figure out, and you guys can't play it. You know, like, that's a thing that happens. But more often than not, it's you're playing Mario Party, and you have a blister in the middle of your hands. And Super Mario Party did not give us blisters. Mainly because I don't think the Switch Joy-Cons would be
able
to...
You're not shaking the Joy-Con enough, then.
Okay, we start off with this category because we thought it'd be like a cute, easy one. It's like 15 minutes. I mean, that's fine.
Hopefully everybody's ready for 4 GOTY episodes.
Okay, this could go 2 or 3, we're not sure. So, Kevin, you firmly sit at Super Mario Party for winner. Tyler, you sir?
I could be convinced. On Kirby? Star Allies, yeah.
Okay.
Do we want to go Star Allies, Mario Party runner-up?
I kind of do.
I'm good with that.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. I believe that in quality, Super Mario Party is a better purchase.
Yeah.
Because Kirby Star Allies, if it's still $60, this game is only 3 to 4 hours. 5 or 6 if you 100% it. And I did that in like I said, maybe 3 or 4 days, 2 or so sessions.
So, but that sets the precedent for the rest of this GOTY that for any close matches, it really should be down to value because... As a person who plays games, I think value is hugely important.
I agree. I don't think we should take cost into account unless it came out like at a mid-tier price versus a full-tier price.
Not even so much cost as much as it is like worth.
Bang for for your buck or value over they're charging. Well, and as Tyler pulls up the price on his phone, this is the inherent problem with the whole taking cost and value into account is that these prices will go down. Kirby,
yeah, well, sure.
Well, Nintendo games not so much, but prices will go down over the years. I just wanted to say that I think Kirby Star Allies wins better. I think it fits to win this category, but know going in that it's a short game, so don't pay $60 for it. That's what I'm saying. I just...
Go rent it from Redbox and pay for it one day.
That's what I mean. If you spend $60 on this game, you might be a bit disappointed. I don't want anybody going out there and purchasing Kirby Star Allies for full price because we said it was the most accessible game. Like, it is.
Just buy Mario Party.
But get a deal. If you're looking for a game with dozens and dozens and dozens of hours of content, and that's what you're looking for, then probably Super Mario Party over that. But then also I would make a case for WarioWare. But then again, we're just making categories at this point. Let's finish this one. Our winner, yes, we're all in agreement. Kevin, come on, let's just go with this.
I just, the value thing, I can't get over
that. Okay, I shouldn't open my fucking mouth.
Yep, you did this to us.
Let's just not. The winner of There's other places that we can award it. Yeah. The winner of most accessible and best game to play with a non-gaming partner is Kirby Star Allies, followed runner-up Super Mario Party.
I'll take my lumps.
I mean, it's going to get its nods other places. And like I said earlier, sorry if I'm talking down. Like I said earlier, after we get through a category, we are going to play a little bit of music. Some music.
But here's the secret. We're not actually going to be playing it. We're going to be making the noises with our mouth.
Okay. And that's like now it's another game.
And the one. Oh.
Know what song you just heard. I hope it's something that was like relevant to a Nintendo property.
No, we totally know what it was. It's from that game that was really good this year.
Yeah, but you heard it.
Don't tell me.
Okay, you heard it. Guys, that was that was most accessible games, best game to play with a non-gaming partner.
Why wasn't Celeste on that list?
Celeste is is a dead-ass single-player game. Let's get into... Yeah, let's move on to this. I feel like we're doing the same thing we did in 2017. Let's go best fighter.
Going through lists and arguing about which one's the best?
Yeah, pretty much. Let's do best fighter. Groundhog Day. Best fighter is our second category.
Yep.
Let's knock this one out. LMFO. See what he... Tyler, would you like to read off our nominees here for best fighting game of 2018?
He's going to do it in a goofy voice.
No, he won't. No, he won't. He
I was
will
do it in my announcer voice.
Okay, yeah, do it there. All right.
So my announcer voice is good. Best fighters: Soul Calibur 6, Dragon Ball FighterZ, Super Smash Brothers, and My Hero Academia.
I was really excited to see where that character was going, and you ruined it.
He died before he even got to live.
I like to imagine he was walking down the street with Tyler, and they were having a conversation about the best game, and he just falls into a manhole. Tyler keeps walking like nothing happened.
Did you ever see the movie Split by that guy with 23%?
No, I want to.
I feel like we just saw just like Duo. That was just the one Split personality. All right, that first one was Soul Calibur 6, in case you couldn't hear over Tyler's other identity trying to... voice. All right, I think I see the two that are going to make it towards the top of this list, but let's talk about the ones that weren't, that aren't going to. My Hero Academia.
Hey, fuck you.
I didn't play this game. Should have. I saw it being played. Okay, well then sell me on this game, Kevin.
It kicks the shit out of the other two.
Okay, calm down. Is it 3D? Is it 2D? What's
the
thing?
Yeah, it's 3D. It's like, 3D. It feels very similar to, would you say, like Budokai? I mean, you're not flying all the goddamn time like you are in Budokai.
Budokai is still... Can you block in this game?
In My Hero? Yeah, absolutely.
How?
You just block. You press the block button.
Oh, there's a block button?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, sometimes you hold back. Sometimes, different.
Yeah. This one's, you know how the new thing in fighting games, like Soul Calibur, you're on a stage and it rotates and things like that?
Yeah.
This stage is destructible. You're in different places that are featured in the My Hero Academia storyline.
You could fight on the walls.
You get kicked into walls at times.
You get stuck in walls.
You get to see all
it's
the characters.
Anime staple.
You get to see all their like characters, like iconic moves. Mm-hmm. That's always fun.
Yep. Sidekicks.
I'm just trying to say right now, the things you are saying are 100% applicable to Dragon Ball FighterZ. Like as I was thinking.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying.
Almost certainly the same game. I just like My Hero better than I like.
Well, tell me about the multiplayer options. Is it just one-to-one? Is
so
there
it's always
a tag?
One-to-one.
One-to-one.
There's no tag.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's no multiplayer tag. You can tag in sidekicks.
Okay. Yeah.
Do shit.
Since I haven't played this, I'm just trying to...
So, for this tagging scenario, imagine Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah.
Except you don't get to be those characters. You just tag them in, and then they jump back out.
Quick assists.
And the tags are really meant to break combos. So, like, if somebody's just, like, wailing on you, you tag somebody in, and they, you know, punch them in the kidneys and call them a little girl and, you know.
You know, anime stuff.
The anime thing.
That doesn't happen.
Is there single-player content? Did you play any of it, or what did you think of it?
I actually didn't play any of the single-player content, but I did know there is, right?
I don't know. I don't know the game. Ah. We were too busy kicking each other's asses.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we beat the shit out of
you. You guys had a good time.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed it.
So,
it was intense.
You think it stands up against at least two other ones on this category?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So we'll keep it for now. Let's move on to the one that I play the most of, then Tyler, then Kevin.
Yeah.
Unless Tyler all of a sudden was in his, like, got a crunch for GOTY, and
I was, but
picked up Soul Calibur for the game. No, you picked up a much better game.
Yup.
Soul Calibur 6 is fun.
It's a character creator that nobody played beyond that.
It is very good for that. It is a one could argue this could also be in the best remake remaster category that maybe we'll do later in the episode, because this is essentially a retelling of the original Soul Calibur game events.
It makes me so sad.
I just like that people took the turtle shells and made a pistachio.
That's what I'm like. So the character creator they have is so robust that people make a slew of fictional characters or pop culture references. Like Kevin said, stuff as weird as like taking two turtle shells for a reptilian character and making literally a person who's supposed to be a pistachio. It's funny stuff. And you see those things online. I played a few matches online, and getting there into the matches was horrendous. The load times are God awful. I played on Xbox One, so that's what I can say as far as load times on console. They're like minute plus, I feel, at times.
Per match.
Yes, per match. And that's why we specifically started doing longer matches, because the loads were longer than the fights. Then you have the two single player stuff, which is you have this RPG light kind of thing where you create a character and then take them across this map doing a bunch of fights. There's some text where characters will talk in non-voiced dialogue boxes for a little bit, giving you context to the quest, and then you fight some sort of...
Do their mouths move when the...
No, dude, it's literally just like text and like a
splash art.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have a more traditional arcade ladder, but it's set up differently, and you can play as multiple characters and play a few fights per. I wanted to give Soul Calibur 6 a nod because I started it up after Tyler had expressed
bashed
his
the hell out of it.
You didn't really even bash the hell out of it. You were just very disappointed by some of the restrictions in the character creator, and generally speaking, you weren't blown away. And I played it. I leveled up to like level 24 or something in the single player. But that was also the RPG single player. That was also right after playing Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And basically, Soul Calibur 6's RPG mode, the main single player content, is basically Super Smash Bros. World of Light mode.
Seriously?
But not as inventive. Yeah, I mean, you're moving on an open map that doesn't have many non-linear distinctions from point to point where you fight a unique sort of fight, and then maybe get an item or get some sort of piece of gear moving on as you level up your character. In World of Light, you're leveling up a card set, but it's basically the same thing. So anything I'm going to give Soul Calibur props to in terms of its RPG stuff should also go to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which is why I'm okay taking Soul Calibur 6 off this list, unless Kevin is for some reason going
to
fight me.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the mat for Soul Calibur.
Well, it's good to see that someone liked
everybody's
it.
Everybody's favorite game.
I'm glad that they put out a Soul Calibur 6.
Yeah, so am I. Just do it better next time.
Do you want
just try a little harder?
As we put it to rest, Tyler, do you want to express your? You once again, you talked about it at length on an episode. Well, for like 15 minutes on an episode, but do you want to talk about why you hated it so much?
I have high expectations for things. I have things that I want to do in certain.
He likes fighters.
Modes. I mean, I do like fighters, and I like customizability. I don't like slow tickers that, like, when you're trying to flip a turtle shell around 180 degrees, it's like, it's...
You're saying the customization takes too long.
It was slow. The sliders take a long time to move. Yeah.
See, I didn't dig deep into the custom creation of the character, because it took me like 5 minutes to create my character, who was literally, as I said on the show,
fighting
just,
Matt.
Just it was just me with like dark eyes or something.
Right, evil Matt. Right,
and I can only imagine.
Was that his name, Matt with dark eyes?
No, it was just Matt.
It was Bat.
It was just Bat. Lol. Bat. So Soul Calibur drops off. Thanks for trying. My hero we talked about. Dragon Ball Fighter. Am I the only person who played Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Yes. Unfortunately.
It's really damn good. It's really good, guys. The story mode leaves a bit to be desired, because the whole story of it is Dragon Ball, ooh, I'm gonna preface this. We probably should have said it at the top of the show, but we are going to make most of this, aka the mass majority of this, spoiler free.
Yeah, I really
should have mentioned this at the top of the show.
No, I'm spoiling everything.
No, you're not. This will all be very spoiler free, because we have a category called Best Narrative, and that is meant to be nothing but spoilers, and that will be on another day, and we will let you know ahead of time what games we'll talk about, when we'll talk about them, and what will be what games we're spoiling. But this you can go through this episode knowing we're not going to spoil anything about the game's story. We'll talk about mechanics and other things, maybe some cool little things in detail, but we won't give away anything about the story that would be considered a narrative spoiler. So you can rest assured 30 minutes in. I really, really should have said that at the top of the show, and I feel stupid. I'm sorry.
You should be sorry.
You should feel stupid.
Dragon Ball FighterZ's story is basically, once again, this is no spoilers, but it's just bad guys come in and they clone the roster of characters, right? Similar to Super Smash Brothers thing. And then you go around an open world map fighting these clones and...
Huh, how about that?
It really is. Everyone did
the same thing this year.
Except it's got splash art talking and there is some cutscenes, but... they don't look as good as they do when you're playing, like, the versus matches. I'm just saying...
I mean, the game's gorgeous otherwise. I'm really surprised.
But the single player left a bit to be desired. You know, you didn't get something robust or something that told a story kind of like a Mortal Kombat would have. Or something that's wacky and over the top like Marvel vs. Capcom 3. And nothing as inventive as Super Smash Bros. Ultimate in terms of single player. But what I will say is this shit is crazy anime looking. It takes what you think you remember an anime looking like and then plays like that. Because if you watch Super Dragon Ball Z, or if you watch Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball, the animation does not look this crisp. It does not look this good. But it's like what it would look like if they did an HD remaster. It looks so much like the anime. And I don't really watch the anime. But oh boy, does that shit look good when you're playing. It's super, super quick. There's some auto combos that really make you feel good without being good. There's a singular button that's meant to throw a fireball. You don't have to do any input. You can just throw a fireball. Every character. For real.
That's how it was in Budokai.
Yeah. It's
or whatever
great.
That one you and Josh played all the time.
All of them.
And the thing I like about this
Xenoverse.
Over something like Xenoverse or Dragon Ball Budokai is that it is 2D. You don't have the multiple planes. You can fly, but not really. So it is more inviting to somebody who might want to try it out, but the 3D space of movement might scare them off. I think it's between these two anime fucking fighting games that are going to be runner-up.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Mm-hmm. So
you know what my vote is.
Yeah. Before we discuss the runner-up, let's talk about what the best fighting game is.
Let's talk about it.
Let's discuss. Let's sit down.
It's Tuesday. It's time to talk about it.
Talk about it. Talk about it Tuesday. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is the ultimate version.
It's a masterpiece.
It's a masterpiece. Guys, I want us all to go around the table and just talk about our favorite mode or aspect about the game, because I think if we discuss why Super Smash Bros. Is so good in its entirety, it'll take up the whole episode.
Yeah, probably.
So Tyler, you start.
Why would you go to me
first? Okay, I'll start.
Yeah, no.
There you go.
Okay, and I'll give a brief overview. There's multiple things you can do in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. There's over 76 characters to unlock, the whole history of stages from the entire franchise, a boatload of music. You have multiple modes, such as the lengthy RPG Light, which is World of Light. You have Classic Mode, which has things like the Classic Paths. Well, no, you have more modes. I forget what the menu is, but you got Classic Mode, All-Star Smash. You got all sorts of things. You got the Spirit Board, where you can fight spirits and take them onto your team in World of Light. There is online. You have all sorts of fights online. And then as far as smashing goes, just the multiplayer, play up to 8 people. You have a boatload of options as far as like what items are on, stock and time. You can do a tournament. There's like... 4 to 5 new modes across this thing as is. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff. So I'll start. I like Super Smash Bros. Melee. I like Super Smash Bros. Melee's event mode. And World of Light is that.
World of Light, are you talking about
Subspace Emissary?
No, I like Subspace Emissary. That was fun.
And then World of Light had some issues that we'll talk about. It's too long. It's way too long.
It is way too long.
It's way too long. We'll talk about it if we end up doing the best moment episode or category. I know that sounds contradictory, but we'll talk about it. But I really like the classic mode. Classic mode takes 76, all 76 of the characters, and they all have their own dedicated arcade ladder. And it's themed around the character. I talked about this last time we did an episode, but Pac-Man. So Pac-Man's is a trip through gaming history. The first stage is on a really retro, I think it's the Pong stage, where the Pong assist is up, and you're fighting against like Mr. Game & Watch. Or Donkey Kong and Mario, and you're as you move through the stage or the arcade ladder, you're getting further into the games, the Super Nintendo characters, etc., etc., etc. And then you have things like Link, where he Link's he's fighting everybody in the Zelda franchise. You get the point. There is 76 different unique kind of story paths to go through without a story. But I really, really like that. I've only played through maybe 20 of them, but I'm going to say it's probably my favorite mode of the bunch. Yeah. I play a lot of online, though.
I played through with DDD and K. Rool, and both of them are kind of like a Royal Rumble.
I like Donkey Kong's.
K. Rool had to fight a robot at the end instead of Crazy Hand.
Okay.
And Master Hand.
Oh, like Duan?
I don't know.
Donkey Kong? Oh, I don't know. The boss guy. Yeah, from World Light. Donkey Kong is cool because it's called Travel to New Donk City, and you are starting off, the first level is Jungle Japes, the jungle level, and you're fighting Diddy Kong.
Yeah.
And then you move on to another jungle level, and then you hop on a plane, and you're fighting like pilots who would take you there, and then you arrive in New Donk City, and then it has a little story context to it.
It's creative.
Yeah, exactly. That's mine. That's my favorite thing. And Kevin?
My favorite thing is that they didn't include the fucking home run smash. Psych! They didn't. They didn't add it at all.
There's no home run smash.
It's not my favorite thing. It's my absolute worst favorite thing.
Okay. Well, we were supposed to be celebrating the game.
Yeah, I know. I'm salty.
All right, that's your
That's why we're going to give it. I also really enjoyed Classic Mode. I thought that was a lot of fun. Lately, though, I've just been like coming home from work. I'll throw it on and I'll fight like a level 9 computer or two and try to zero in on my game.
I think that's where it's been thriving a lot. I see a lot of people just playing Smash and checking it out after work.
Some people playing it right now, actually.
Yeah, look at that over there.
I am going through making sure that everyone knows what's on this game.
Hopefully the clickety clicks of the Joy-Cons aren't loud enough. I don't think they are. But Tyler, that brings us to you. As you stare at your little Switch, the portable baby that it is, have you decided?
Yes.
What is your favorite aspect? I think I know what it is, but I could be wrong.
You do?
Yeah.
What is it then? Tell me.
The music.
Damn it.
Yeah, well, but
I was going to guess the little stickers, the spirits. Right.
Okay, see, the spirits are something I would also guess for Tyler.
So that's way too much collecting, and the reason I didn't play Sticker Star Saga is I don't like usable collectibles.
But
it's a problem.
Yeah, but they don't go away.
Yeah, they do. The ones that you incorporate into other spirits,
yeah,
they just throw them away.
Yeah, you can like devolve your spirits into spirit essence. That's a whole thing. Well, we don't have to get into
There's a lot of technical in this game. My favorite is Squad Strike.
Okay, I don't even think I've played this part yet, to be
honest.
So,
this is like a tag battle.
This is like Marvel vs. Capcom?
This is better than Marvel vs. Capcom.
Otherwise, Marvel vs. Capcom would be on the list.
Right.
There was no Marvel vs. Capcom this year. Okay, I know. So, what is Squad Strike?
Squad Strike is you get one life and five guys.
Okay.
Or multiple lives for each of your five guys.
Burgers and fries.
Yes. Precisely.
Not sponsored.
and then your enemy picks their five characters, and I think you can play. I think it's just 1v1.
You can go against CPUs, ranked and stuff. Right. Okay. Cool. I guess that's the whole reason that this is going to be winning is because I have played this game well over
100 hours.
I beat World of Light 100%.
That was scary.
It's 615 different fights. I have played through 20 or so odd classic mode paths. I've played at least 20 hours online. I have still not seen every... Okay, so there's 3v3 and 5v5 in this Squad Strike. I have not seen this that he showed. Like, this is new content to me. And yeah, maybe that's on me for not clicking through every menu. But, like, there's so much in this game. And it's a $60 game. And so earlier, like, we were talking about the value thing. I think that's applicable in this situation, but it's just one of the reasons it's propelled up. So I think we have a fierce winner in this category, but we don't have a runner-up. And it's an interesting turn, because 2018, it seems to be the year of anime. People, anime is real. Anime is on Netflix. It's in your American household. So what anime will reign supreme, but only in the runner-up category? Dragon Ball Fighter, the lone one that I love, and I don't even like Dragon Ball. It's so fucking... You guys really should... I should have made you play it.
You should have.
I didn't.
You didn't force us to sit down.
I didn't
play this game.
I should have said, hey, come over. Play my Dragon Balls. And then My Hero Academia, which you guys both played and you liked quite a bit, huh?
Yep, I did. I enjoyed it.
I'm with Matt.
Ooh.
He just wants to be against me.
No, I don't. I just feel like I would have enjoyed Dragon Ball FighterZ a lot more.
But you didn't play it.
Right. And but I was so excited for it. And I feel terrible nominating something I didn't play. But at the same time... Why didn't I get it? Because it was $60 for a fighting game.
Yeah, I think I rented that shit.
Why didn't I rent it? I don't have a good reason.
I don't think...
But
I don't...
you did play My Hero Academia more than the one house. Compulsory time.
See?
No, just the one time. No.
I don't think we should bring up that... Because, like you said, someone... you wasn't it... Who's his face? Josh already bought it. And you had played... Okay.
I wanted to play it.
Yeah, I wasn't going to play Dragon Ball Z, but then it kind of popped in my lap because I found a place to rent it. But...
I mean, arguably, my whole thing is that... At this point, I like My Hero Academia more than Dragon Ball Z.
Do you like 3D fighters more than 2D fighters? Would you say? Like, would you like a...
I really don't care for fighters in general.
And that's because, you liked Injustice 2 a lot last year, which was a 2D fighter.
Yeah.
And since you're not a fighter guy, I guess that's kind of what I was...
That's also why I really liked My Hero Academia, is because it was kind of a different take on fighting games.
You know, it felt slow.
No, I disagree. It just didn't feel as... crazy fucking fast like combo button.
Here is where I have the split, because I'm still like I'm willing to bend one way or the other, because Dragon Ball FighterZ the story mode wasn't good. It wasn't good, and the online menuing wasn't good either. It's like little chibi characters. It didn't look very good. And you're on like a central platform. It had seven different planets you would go to, and it wasn't very well. Like the gameplay. Was awesome. That's kind of why I wish you guys would have played some of the single player or like knew what was going on in that, because that's my biggest issue with Dragon Ball.
There's DLC for this game.
Yeah, and there's this thing with Dragon Ball FighterZ where there's like 8 Gokus. What's the roster like in My Hero Academia? Like, what do you
all the characters?
All the ones. There's a few like weird omissions, but they're probably going to be DLC characters.
That's kind of how Dragon Ball worked out.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Well,
I know Mineta wasn't in it. Like, other than the one little
is the Frog Girl in it?
Yep.
Froppy,
she's great.
Okay,
yep, she's good.
Froppy.
She's Froppy.
All right, Dragon Ball Fighter. The reason I want it to be in, I didn't think I was gonna like a Dragon Ball fighting game because I haven't ever liked one in the past. Like, I really haven't. But this was a 2D one, and it was inviting and it was welcoming, and it wasn't that. It was tough to pick up, but not as tough as something like even Marvel vs. Capcom, because they had the auto links and stuff. But it didn't really retain me. At the same time, you guys both played My Hero and you liked it, and I haven't, but.
I gotta say,
I didn't like buy Dragon Ball.
They did a really good job of making all the heroes feel pretty unique. Like, none of their fighting styles were the exact same, which, you know, even in some fighting games, I would say
that
there's familiarity, at least in the button combos that you press.
Yeah.
So in My Hero, there really aren't combos per se. It's more so, you know, like you can't do like a quarter circle forward and then low kick and that does your move.
No,
it's a lot simpler than that, and it kind of feels good in that way, because it's more about you fighting and reading your opponent and what they'll do rather than just trying to get off combos until you lock somebody and then knock them down. You know what I mean? So it's more like knowing when Tyler's going to rush in at, you know, with like a flying kick, and being able to mitigate that before he locks me into a combo. So I summon my sidekick to come knock him out of that combo. It's more about play and counterplay than it is about just raw damage and speed, I guess. And that's probably why I feel slow to you.
Dragon Ball is just speed and fury. And there is the whole...
I also don't like that you can't get in close on Dobby. And everyone just plays Dobby.
I'm willing to concede it to My Hero Academia, to be honest. I mean, I don't know if you guys are all okay with that. I don't think
there is a one player mode.
There's a story.
I remember there being a story, but it was like in between season two or three or something like that, and maybe that's why I didn't like want to play it immediately. But Dragon Ball FighterZ is also like similarly in a weird. I mean, it's like its own timeline. It has new Android and all this crap. I wasn't like super into it. I mean, I really like the gameplay. But if Kevin's really fighting hard for My Hero Academia, and Tyler, you played it and you liked it to a degree, yeah? I mean, you didn't actively dislike it. You had fun. You guys were both, that's what you said at the beginning of the segment. You both were having too much fun beating the crap out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we played it for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Without stopping.
And the day before that, I played it for about four hours with Josh.
I feel like I feel better rewarding My Hero, even though I really, really like Dragon Ball, because I'm grateful for Tyler's backing up, but I'm pretty sure you'd really like this game.
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind that I'd like this game. I like playing DBZ.
I want to be clear, I really do like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
This isn't about the content. Right. This is about the quality of game.
Yeah. Let's choose to My Hero Academia. I'm the only one who played it. I can get behind my... I like the frog girl, all right? I like the fucking frog girl.
And that's who I play.
All right. The winner...
by a long shot.
A best fighter is Overcooked 2. Because you're going to fight with your friends when you play that shit. And Super Smash Brothers Ultimate on Nintendo Switch. Runner-up, My Hero Academia, which I believe was on Xbox One. One's Justice, which is on...
it's on everything.
Yeah, Xbox, PlayStation, maybe Switch.
It's on Switch.
Hell yeah. Okay, guys, that was a good category. Now, we're going to hear a song from Super Smash Bros. Ultimate because it is nominated for our best music category. See how that works when it does it, how we're supposed to do it? Okay, thank God. All right, let's hit that good, delicious Super Smash Bros. Ultimate music as we come into our next category. That was nice. My phone's battery is dying. That's not good.
You have plenty of battery left.
It goes faster than you think. I was gonna say another quick one, but I kind of feel like, yeah.
Those were quick, by the way.
Yeah, those were.
Those were pretty quick.
I think let's do. You guys want to do most unique and then take a short break?
Yes.
Okay. Most unique is one of my favorite ones because we haven't done it before.
Would you say it's unique then?
Yes. Yeah, see what I'm doing there?
The category is unique.
I thought that there was so many games as I was playing this year that were fun and inventive, and maybe while not wholly awesome as a video game, had some really, really cool ideas. So, once again, this is most unique. We're talking about a game that had either a unique concept, a unique gameplay mechanic, had a noticeably... You know what I'm saying. You look at this game and go, I haven't really played anything quite like this before. Or this is the best version of this because of some cool... And this is a packed fucking list.
I'm looking at this list and I'm just like having a hard time.
Yep.
I'm not. I
didn't even play some of
these. All right, well, hold on there, and that's what we're going to get to. Our nominees for the most unique game of 2018, and if you haven't heard of any of these, don't worry, we'll explain them, is Minute, Into the Breach, A Way Out, Detroit, Become Human, Moonlighter, Omen Sight, Yoku's Island Express, Pixel Ripped 1989, and Donut County. All right, so this is a longer list of nominees. Let's do it kind of how you normally do it. Someone want to offer one up for sacrifice?
Into the Breach.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? For most unique.
Yeah, I want to offer it up as sacrifice. I want to get it out of here.
I feel like you're going to...
Is it just you're just saying that, or what, do you have a reason?
I have a reason. I don't think it's as unique. Okay. So why is it unique? Tell me why it's unique.
I haven't played this game. I have not played this game.
That's why.
What I understand it to be is an 8x8 grid, like, that is a strategy game.
Yeah.
But it's also very much like a chess
very much like a chess game.
And in that, it is a puzzle that you can... But you're also taking mechs, fighting a giant horde of alien bugs, and then you're time jumping, and that's how it's a run base, correct?
Correct.
Kevin, you've played this, right?
When you lose, and you will lose, whatever pilots you have will die in the process of losing, and then the remaining pilot or pilots will be pulled back through time to start your new crew.
I think that's where the unique aspect comes in. Maybe not so much in the strategy X puzzle. I think we should hold on the list now. I don't know if it's going to make it to the top or runner-up. I know that it's a very, 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 very good game. It's
certainly not the first one I would eliminate in terms of uniqueness.
Let's hold it on there. Once again, I just want to—I want this category to be a celebration of a game that was really struck us as unique or fresh, whether or not the game overall was as good. I'll offer this one up, though, as a way out.
I think conceptually it was unique, but as far as gameplay goes, it was just kind of a co-op game where you didn't really work in the same room together like every other co-op game, or you know what
so
I mean?
Like, I think the unique aspect of it, once again, this is a third person action kind of adventure game that is co-op only. You can only play it co-op, online or local. Sorry, once again, there was a unique aspect in that if you bought it and wanted to play with your friend online, only one person needed to buy it. You could just send an invite to your friend on Xbox or PlayStation, and then they were allowed to download a different version of the game that, you know, they couldn't invite their own friends or mess with anything, but they could play the game along with you. And I think that's the first time we've ever really seen that done on modern consoles.
Yeah, on home consoles.
And then there were some unique things about the ending, but we'll bring that up in Best Narrative or Best Moment if we do that category. But overall, I would say, yeah, it wasn't insanely unique in its gameplay. It was in its execution. There is, in the beginning of the game, you're both playing as two different characters. One has actually been in prison already for a while, and one is now arriving at prison. And, like I said, you're two players, and you're playing two separate games at points. You can go back and play this game twice, playing as different characters, and it feels, you know, wholly original and fresh because it is a different perspective. And as you move through the prison, you're both doing completely different things, talking to different characters. You know, one is getting intaken, filling out forms, taking a shower, finding a cell. The other one is, you know, doing a deal on the outdoor exercise area, getting into a fight. But you're moving through this at your own pace. You don't feel stilted by anything. And after this 10 or so minute segment, you arrive at the cell at the same exact time. And at no point did you feel like the game was holding me up. The game was stopping me, so we were paced at the same time. Like, you organically arrive after playing two completely different things. And so it's paced incredibly well. And in that regard, it is a unique idea within the co-op game. But I feel like we can let it go because ultimately it's... Once again, I don't want to say the game didn't live up to expectations because that's not what I'm trying to reward here, but in comparison to other games on this list, it wasn't the most unique or the best, even.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to qualify it because otherwise it's going to feel like we're eliminating games that, by their own merit, are very unique.
Look,
but are they as unique as the rest of them?
If someone reinvents the wheel and it's a cool substitution for a wheel and it still functions like a wheel, I'm going to say that's a unique wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone makes something better than the wheel, like, that is definitely unique and an improvement. But, like, you still gotta acknowledge the guy who made the weird triangle wheel, right?
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Works when you push it downhill really fast.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you know. You're following along my weird, fucked up logic.
I got you.
We're pulling into an hour. Does anyone have another sacrifice to open up? I mean, once we get into this...
I do, but it's gonna be controversial.
Before you do that, I can let mine go. Okay, I have another one off the chopping block, because this is, once again...
Well, you just offered one up, so shut up and let Kevin do it.
Yeah, okay, fine, let Kevin do it.
Go for it, buddy.
Do it, Kevin.
I'm going to say Donut County.
Motherfucker, that's what I was...
That's why.
Because Donut County, it's cool, it's unique, the art style's fun, the music's amazing.
The aesthetic is the game, pretty
much. Yeah.
We have a category for it.
But it's kind of like, it's Katamari, but reverse.
But have you ever played a game where you're a fucking, you're literally a raccoon driving a drone around... Deploying, you're under the guise of giving away donuts, but you're just fucking making a giant hole and sucking up the entire town for reasons unknown. I get that it's just Katamari and the weird, like,
have quirky. I ever been a raccoon? Yes. Flown a drone? No.
It's a game about being a hole that
giving
sucks
donuts
stuff
to
up.
People and instead throwing them into a sinkhole? Also, yes.
Okay.
I've done all this.
I think Donut County is unique.
It's very unique, and but it's not as unique as the rest of these.
I see the ones where I could fight it.
It's a level by level puzzle reverse Katamari.
It's reverse Katamari.
Okay, so all right, we're not okay.
Instead
fine.
Of it, rolling,
I stuff. Know. Cheers. Why is that popping up when I hit a button? Donut County is getting released or erased off this
Matt,
list.
Donut, feel bad about it.
I'm gonna fucking smack you. Okay. Pixel ripped 1989.
All right, so a VR trip back into video game history. I don't have VR.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is where it's going to come up, is that it's very unique, but I think a lot of the unique aspect of it came from it inherently being in VR, which is a unique experience unto itself.
Why didn't they call this Ready Player One the game?
Because that already exists, and it's already a VR thing, and it's weird.
Really? Don't play that. It's probably bad. Don't play that.
It has one or two good
things. It might be better than the book, but don't play that.
Pixelripped 1989, like Tyler said, is a trip back in time. You play as a kid who is in school and playing a game on their Game Boy or something similar to a Game Boy. And in
Senga Game Guy.
That's the one. You're playing the Senga Game Guy, and god damn it. And you're in VR, so you're looking down and you're holding your DualShock controller. This is on PSVR. Might also be on Oculus, I don't know actually. And as you look at your Game Boy, you're actually looking at your DualShock, and as you move your DualShock, you know, you can move the Game Boy. And it does interesting things with that. Eventually you get sucked into the game. Now that I'm thinking about it, it really isn't. I mean, the concept is very unique, but a lot of the execution comes from it being in VR. That really is the thing. I don't know. There's a cool level where you're sitting outside during recess, and you pull up your Game Boy, and you get like this new game because you can listen to this radio in game, and they'll tell you about cheat codes and stuff, and you can unlock a new game. You throw it in there, and what it becomes is there's these birds that are flying around over your school, but when you look up with your through the screen of your Game Boy that you're holding, it becomes like a rail shooter, where you're shooting these flying aliens that are trying to pick up these chickens. And so you're looking around through... It's AR in VR? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And it sounds complex.
Yes. It's very, very hard to explain and very hard to imagine if you've never done it. But if you can imagine how cool it feels when you like maybe busted out your 3DS for the first time, you put the card down, you're like, oh fuck, I could hit the pinball.
Dude, or that you game played, was fucking sweet.
Yeah, or you played Pokemon Go, and you're like, there's a Pikachu in my toilet.
You shot your own flying face?
Yeah. Yes. Face Raiders? Is that what that's called?
Yes, Face Raiders. Fuck, they really should have done more with that.
It's like the 3DS had games that were already programmed into it.
Imagine that in VR. And then it's also retro video game themed. And that's why it earned its spot on this list. But I'm going to hit the old delete on it.
It's neat. Good job. But
I think
it's not as unique as the rest of these.
You know, I got another one. Let's take Sneak King off the list.
Okay. All right. Sneak King was a game that was... Okay, once again, I said that like 98% of our games are from 2018. Sneak King was a game that we all secretly... No one discussed it on this show. No, we all secretly spent, I think, about... Tyler was like 12 hours. Kevin was 46 hours, and I was actually 45 hours because Kevin got the new world record for the speed run. We're all working on it.
We were,
and he beat me. So I was like, whatever.
We thought it'd really be on track with the spirit of the game if we just didn't talk about it until now, because the whole thing is sneaky, right?
Yeah. But it has to get off because it's really not unique. It's a very old Burger King.
It's bad. It's really 45 hours of my life I'm never going to get back.
Do you guys like this? Like, it's a little break of comedy to take you from the fucking content hell that is Game of the Year. But on the surface, we are video game journalists.
This is the most ridiculous thing
I've
ever
seen.
Have you
never seen Sneak King?
No!
Oh,
whoa!
My God. I make this ref like every other
you
week.
You do, and I'm just like, what is this?
What was the one with the bumper cars? Sorry, we're taking a...
Bump King, probably.
Bump King? Oh, God. That sounds like a cocaine in the 80s.
Yes, it does.
A cocainer in the 80s. Yes, yeah, Sneak King. Well, Tyler falls down the hole of what is
Sneak
King on
the Xbox.
Well, I
was playing Sneak King on my Snega Game Guy,
Detroit Become Human, I'm willing to put up on the chopping block.
I didn't play it, unfortunately. I heard it was cool. I heard it was interesting, but but how
did Big Bumpin'?
Big Bumpin' was the bumper
that was
car
better
one.
Than mine.
Big Bumpin' was bumpin'. The other Burger King big 360 game you got in a Burger King meal.
Big Bumpin' King.
Here's the okay.
That chicken.
The bargain bins at GameStop.
Can you throw that up on the group?
Filled. Yes. Please copy that image, download it. We'll add it to the Facebook group. Or if you could just post to the Facebook group. Check out the Facebook group.
I got a question.
Yes.
Detroit Become Human, right?
Yes.
Other than the fact that it had like 76 concurrent storylines and like really interesting mocap and thing. All that other stuff. Is there anything other than, I mean, is that the gimmick? It's just that there's a lot of them and they're good?
Well, I guess it comes from it's a interactive story,
yeah.
Kind of. So it's interactive, or it's unique in the way that David Cage games, Heavy Rain, Beyond Souls are already kind of like, unique.
Not to be reductive, I guess.
No. Like,
I don't
yes, you are right in saying.
Credit where credit's due, but.
In the unique aspect of Detroit Become Human isn't its story that is basically thinly veiled racism allegories with mm-hmm. androids versus quote-unquote real humans.
Yeah.
It is the fact...
Blade Runner.
It's not the story. It's not the execution. It's not even the graphics, although the graphics are very good, and we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
It is the fact that the game finally delivers on this Telltale Games and kind of Heavy Rain's original promise of your actions truly do make consequences.
Right.
Characters can die, and that does make a ripple. And then at the end of a story section, you can see how many branching paths there are. And there really is a lot of stuff to see and do. And maybe while it doesn't have a giant impact on the final end game, there is a lot of branching and weaves in the middle there. And the fact that they're able to comprehensively wrap that up and still have a cohesive story is... It's interesting in the same way that Black Mirror Bandersnatch is interesting, if you watched that on Netflix recently. It is many moving pieces, puzzles, parts, and characters. And the fact that it's still... It's also telling three characters' stories at once. So it's branching, and those intertwine too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of, I'm controlling three different characters, making all these small and big changes during my game, and we're all going to meet up, and that has to still be cohesive, the fact that they made that is unique. And that you can go back and replay the different stuff. So that's why it popped onto this list, because it does cooler things than other Telltale or QuickTime Event heavy games have done.
Thanks for taking my picture.
You got it.
You know, the other thing that's unique about this game is that Andy Serkis did all the mocap for every character.
Yeah.
So that's, you know...
That's a complete mutter lie. I wish he did.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
Name one other mocap person.
The people who actually played... I can't...
Name
now,
their names.
Oh my god, just because I don't know the actors who played... Jeez, that's gonna make me feel really, really bad, because the guy who played Marcus is like a C-list. A celebrity, so I should know him from something.
Andy Serkis.
It's not Andy Serkis. No, okay, Andy Serkis would have given better performances than this. No, there were.
What about, okay, how does it stack up to Cole in
Detroit,
L.A. Noir?
Detroit.
Doubt.
Actually, like, the faces are the thing in that game. They're scarily realistic.
Yeah.
They're
that's
almost
what I heard. But is it unique, or is it like...
It's getting deleted off
the like
list.
Heavy Rain times three in terms of length?
It's like...
Yeah, delete that.
It's like, Jesus Christ.
I put it on Facebook already.
Why? Oh my God.
Why? Okay, I'm going to take a picture of you out of context and post it on Facebook.
Tear it down.
All right, tearing it down.
Into the Breach. Are we going to take this off the list? I already took Detroit. Well, here. Here's our final nominees. Minute, Into the Breach. Oh, let me knock off Omen Sight real quick.
Yeah.
Omen Sight is a very cool third-person hack-and-slash action game. The whole idea is that you're jumping through time. Once you live through a day, and then the end of the world happens, and then you get thrown back to the beginning of that day, where if you watch somebody die, you absorb their soul, and then you can go back and follow them through that day previously, which then changes the branching story. It's a unique concept, but it isn't executed really in a unique way. You don't have as much control as you would think in a game about going back in time and relearning information, but it does set up its levels in a very interesting way. I just think that's really cool. It's
really cool.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
It's basically, what was that fucking movie with Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt?
Into Tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow. You are right. And then you start to say Live, Die, Repeat, which is also right because they changed the fucking name of the movie when they put it out on Blu-ray.
Edge of Tomorrow, Days of Future Past.
Correct. That's X-Men Dark Phoenix. That it's that idea, but put into a game. Omen Sight.
Mm-hmm.
It's very quite good. If you I talked about it on Almost Better Than Silence. Shout out to them guys. It's on PlayStation 4. I don't think it's on Xbox. It's on PC as well.
That's probably why I didn't play it.
Check it out. Omen Sight. If you like third-person hack and slashes, kind of like old-school God of War, or, you know, the stuff that was out in the mid-2000s. Our final four are Minute, Into the Breach, Moonlighter, and Yoku's Island Express.
Okay, so last rough. Time you talked about this game, you told me that it was what Sonic Spinball should have been.
Yes, Yoku?
Yes.
Yoku Island Express is a pinball Metroidvania.
What? What?
I want to know that. Besides, I mean, I think he did.
We've talked about it.
I don't think he knew the extent of Metroidvania. Look, Yoku's Island Express is my... I could be leaned on one or two of these, but it is my gunner for most unique. Because Sonic Spinball and maybe a few, you know, pinball-centric games I could think. But when was the last time... When have you ever heard of a fucking pinball Metroidvania?
Never.
Like, I think if you dig in, you could probably find a pinball game, especially with, like, the multiple virtual pinball games that were released on PC.
Space Cadet.
Yeah, well, Space Cadet's just a pinball game. That's not every pinball... You fucking...
Wasn't Metroid Prime a pinball game? Wasn't there a pinball Metroid?
Okay, look, now you're really starting to blow the lines of what is considered a Metroidvania pinball. If the Metroid pinball game was just a pinball game with no Metroid...
But the original Castlevania game wasn't a good Castlevania game like it is today.
Meta Metroidvania pinball.
Look, in earnest, Yoku's Island expresses that. It is a Metroidvania game in which you control a little guy who moves... He's a dung beetle who moves around...
Holy shit. It totally was.
He's a dung beetle who moves around a pinball, basically. And he is the new postal service worker on this cute little island. That's
Idiot doesn't even have dung.
He doesn't have dung. He moves around a pinball. And as you play through, or as you explore the world, since you can't jump, really, you use these flippers, these blue and yellow colored flippers, to basically play these mini pinball sections. And as you progress, you unlock new areas. You collect these fruit along the way that open gates into new pinball sections. You unlock a fast travel system. Maybe it's not as Metroidvania as a true Metroidvania. Like, you don't get a ton of items, but you're constantly looking for quest-specific items. You get things like a grappling hook that unlock. It is a pinball Metroidvania light, I would say.
That's a thing. Metroidvania Light is a thing.
But it's still an open world pinball adventure. It's less of a pinball game, more of an adventure game that uses pinball mechanics and does it really, really well. It's also great because in its nature, pinball is really easy to play. Even if you're trash at it, all you do is just smack the flippers. This game kind of forces you to get a little bit better and learn some skill, but I don't think you need to be a great pinball player to be a great Yoku's Island Express player.
Sorry, it causes you to get good?
You gotta get good. Right? You gotta get good in some aspects.
Gotta get good.
Look, I'm just saying, Yoku's Island Express, you should download and play, even if it doesn't. Even if it doesn't win this category, please.
Oh, absolutely. It's fantastic.
Please play that game.
It's fantastic. But.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to fight me on anything, let's talk about Moonlighter. Kevin, that's your bag. You're the biggest proponent of Moonlighter.
Yeah.
Tell them what it is.
I'm having an internal struggle because I don't know how much of it is just that I really liked Moonlighter and how much of it is really unique. So let me explain it to you, and I will let you two decide.
Yes.
So Moonlighter is, imagine Legend of Zelda, but the dungeon changes every time you go into it. It's right outside your town, so you don't have to travel through an overworld. You walk in, and everything's different from the last time you were in there. You can use a number of different weapon types that all have a unique fighting style that you can build by earning money by selling the monster parts of the things that you kill in the dungeon. So at night, you dungeon delve, and during the day, you have a small shop.
So,
sell those pieces.
Like real life, when do you sleep?
You don't.
Well, shit.
Wait, no, don't you
sleep? You moonlight.
Don't you sleep to,
At the end of the shop day, basically, you sleep.
I thought it was either at the end of the shop day or when you get back from the dungeon.
Correct.
But you do sleep at one point, Tyler.
It was a joke.
I know, but
it was a bad joke.
But it's important to note. Like, people don't poop in video games, and that's maybe a category you should put.
Yeah.
Best pooping
in video games. Yeah, pooping
best realism.
Game. For sure.
RDR2.
What about Infectinator, the little McDonald's zombie poops a little hamburger on
the ground. Geez. Okay, that was all right, that was a riff. But yes, Moonlighter.
Yeah, yeah. So why this is unique? Because both ends are very robust. The fighting is really kind of in depth. It's part bullet hell, part Legend of Zelda style dungeon delve, part roguelike. And then I wouldn't even say that's the most compelling part of the game. The shop is really cool.
It is.
Because you throw an item down and you have absolutely no idea what you should be charging for this item. And so what you do is, as the shopkeeper, you stand there and you watch their faces as they walk up to these items. Now, it's 2D. It's kind of like Stardew kind of graphics.
Yeah.
A little more pretty pixel art, I would say. But these little emotes pop up above their heads. And if it's super excited, it means you undercharged for the item. They're really excited that they found this item for so cheap. So your guy automatically marks that in your little ledger. So next time you sell that item, you can check your ledger to see, yeah, like, oh, I history. Priced it at 50 gold, and somebody really thought that was a steal. So I'm going to bump it up to, like, 75 this time. And you might get the same reaction. And then you're like, oh, God, I'm way under. I'm going to bump it to 150. And then you get somebody who comes in like, that's piss poor. I ain't buying that.
I think the unique aspect comes in the marrying of the dungeon delving and the shop, because you then use the money you make from that to upgrade your armor and upgrade the town itself.
Yes.
I think that's the, and for me, that's kind of where the game fell off.
But there's even depth in the shopping aspect, because people will come in and try to steal things, and you'll have to catch them. And you can increase the size of your shop. And you can do all sorts of stuff. You can buy a house for a potion seller in town, or
I'm just saying in context of this category, I think the roguelike thing is, it's a roguelike that's been done before. Yep. I think the shop thing is, you know, new, but it's not the most unique in
Certainly
terms
not.
Of merch. But when you bring them together, that is the unique experience it provides. Yes. You're playing a roguelike to earn stuff to sell in the shop.
Right.
And to continue.
Right.
I agree it's unique. I don't, from a pure unique, like, wow factor, I still think, like, a Minute or a Yoku is more unique in that regard.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a bias because I didn't really hotch or latch on to the whole, you know, upgrading the town. I can't talk today.
Arguably, I feel the same way about Yoku's. I played it. Yeah. I didn't really get super into it.
Okay.
I didn't dislike it. It's just not my priority.
That's the same kind of thing. Moonlighter, also, they said they were going to update a few things, and I kind of, like, pushed
also
it off.
Not sure Moonlighter brings enough new stuff to the table. I think a marriage of two not super unique things does not make something unique.
I think 30% of it's unique, and the other 70% is pretty good, but not
It's
fresh.
A very good game, but yeah, it's nothing new.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable knocking that off.
Okay. All right.
That resolved my internal strife that I had.
Okay, so our final three here, we got, we talked about Into the Breach, we talked about Yoku's Island Express. The last one we have to talk about is Minute. Minute, I played this, I reviewed it. It's super basic. It is basic. It's a black and white game. It kind of looks like Game Boy graphics, but not as bad. And it is a game where you have 60 seconds, and then you die. And you have this whole adventure you're supposed to do, but you only have 60 seconds, then you die and you respawn at the last house you visited. So you start off running around this small area, like, oh, what can I achieve in 60 seconds? And you'll find a quest item, and the cool thing is that when you find important items or unlock important places, that stays. Your progress stays. Your character just dies and respawns, so you have 60 seconds to figure out what to do. But the things you achieve, the world is already affected. And as you explore and get further, you'll find these new homes that you can occupy. They're kind of like checkpoints or safe spots. And then you'll respawn from that. The reason I think it's unique is it's Zelda, but specifically in 60-second bite chunks. And that is where they draw a lot of the fun stuff of that game. Like, early on, there is a guy who's outside of a lighthouse, and you have to get him to him super quick because his text talks so slow, it takes like 50 seconds to get through what he's trying to say. And what he says at the end is important, and you need to know it. And there's also replayability, because ultimately the game is maybe an hour and a half, and there's speedrun categories, there's a new game plus category with extra stuff, a second quest, I think, as well. But knowing stuff and going through, I don't know. I mean, it really is the whole, you have 60 seconds to survive and find out what you're supposed to do in that 60 seconds that makes it unique. Makes the puzzles unique.
Do they compound upon that? Or is that really the central gimmick and it's just sort of different variations of that throughout the game? You know, like you said, they kind of play with it a little bit, making that guy's text really long, you know, like...
It comes down to a lot of, like, maybe the first time you do something, it'll take you 60 seconds to figure it out. Like, there's a tunnel or a dark maze, and, like, the first time you approach it, you'll be like, oh, this is super dark, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And then you leave, and it's already 15 seconds of your life. Maybe later on in two or three lives, you find a torch, and you're like, oh, I can now bring that back. So
it's almost like Metroidvania.
Yes. Yes. It's a Metroidvania with a strict time limit, but I guess, once again, the time limit isn't super strict in the fact that you die, and your world progress remains. You just die and you've been moved to one starting point, essentially. You have 60 seconds to get from a starting point to your objective, and figuring out how you're going to do that is the quick thing.
Live, die, repeat, yeah.
Pretty much.
Edge of Tomorrow.
It, well, but kind of Into the Breach is also that as well. I guess the question is
here's my argument for Into the Breach, if you care.
No, go ahead.
For your consideration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Into the Breach.
And we'll get out, we'll stretch our legs here.
Thank you.
Into the Breach has a lot of unique approaches to solving problems. It's the ultimate puzzle game, because while there are different ways to solve problems, the problems you're solving are same or similar.
That's what I understand it to be, is that there's very, very little, if any, RNG. It's very much, you will always have enough information to know exactly what is going to happen. It is figuring out how you are going to stop or make that to your advantage on the next turn.
Right,
is the
because your mechs attack before the bugs do. Once your turn is over, the bugs do everything simultaneously. So it's your job to mitigate the things that they are about to do to the innocent towns and buildings and other things that are on this 8x8 grid. So whether you have this Titan mech that a punch will reposition this bug so that his shot that he was going to put into this building now targets one of his friends instead, or you push him on top of an emerging bug that will damage both of them, or you have a robot that will sling another mech into the distance who can then act. So, I mean, there's all sorts of different applications. Like, in certain maps, there's a tidal warning, and slowly but surely, each turn, one row of the map is eliminated.
Okay.
And if anything's on it, it dies. So, you know, pushing a bug into that position, or, you know, shooting your artillery so that it hits in between four of them and knocks them all back. It's a lot of this really interesting positioning. Like you said, chess, but imagine if any piece could do anything.
Yeah.
I think it's unique simply because there are so many different solutions, so many customizable things you can do. You can add equipment to those mechs. If you lose, one of them or multiple of them die, and you start over with your existing character, so you can really keep one person as your leader. Or you can cut your losses and save them all, and just keep upgrading them on each successive run.
Okay.
So... yeah, no. I wasn't all about it until you mentioned that feature. I forgot about that.
Well, and I'm trying to see, because a lot of what I'm hearing is very, very cool puzzle and strategy gameplay and cool solutions, but it is still a grid-based strategy game. True. It is the whole run-based thing that makes it unique for me. But having not played it, once again, I can't hop behind it. Now, Tyler said he wanted to cut it. You were very hot on it. Here's the thing. I'm Yoku right now, I think, but I could also go Minute for winner. I think the best thing I'm going to give Into the Breach without playing it is runner-up. You said you're really hot, Kevin, on Into the Breach for winner?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you sit between Minute and Yoku as your second favorite?
I'd say Minute, probably.
Tyler, are you Yoku Minute, then? Or are you Minute Yoku?
Well, the way you guys are describing Into the Breach is interesting, but I still think it's just Fire Emblem.
I mean, that's in that it comes back to kind of some of the early arguments of the actual gameplay itself might be similar, but it's the concept that's baked around it. Both things can be good equally, and just because we said earlier that maybe, oh, the concept is good, but the execution isn't the same reason to throw out Into the Breach, because
the other counterpoint I'd make is that it's very, very much unlike Fire Emblem in that it's not a rock, paper, scissors game.
I think it's unique. I think that there is no grid-like game like this.
No.
That's right. I firmly believe that. It's just the matter of, like, Yoku being a pinball. Like, I love Yoku, and I'm really fucking hot on it, but...
It's pretty cool. You don't see many pinball games.
Yeah, anymore. Tyler, the thing is between Minute, like, where do you sit? Now that we've heard his discussion about Into the Breach, would you rather give Into the Breach for a runner-up? Are you still comfortable cutting it?
I'd be happy with it as a runner-up.
We're all three across the board here. So, Tyler, and then we can kind of figure out from there. But I want Tyler to be able to say what he thinks the winner and the runner-up is, because both of us got to say.
I mean, Minute is interesting.
But it really is Zelda with a 60-second timer. I love the game, and I love how it makes... But that is the unique aspect of it.
Right. So, like, when it boils down to it, your puzzle is, can I do this in 60 seconds? No. Do something else.
Or use that 60 seconds to find information that then kind of leads you to the puzzle over time. It's not a very difficult game. It just takes a amount. Really, it comes down to kind of what do you like better? A Zelda game with a time limit? A strategy game with a really cool time-traveling concept? Or, I mean... The Yoku is the pinball Metroidvania. We've already talked about that. they're very three very, very unique games.
I'll go Yoku Breach.
You go Yoku Breach? I'm fine going. I would go Yoku Minute, but I will go Yoku Breach because I have heard more people talk very, very highly about Breach, and I don't like strategy games. Like, Fire Emblem is maybe one of the only ones I can actually stand, but I have been really hot to download this after hearing about it. So
I mean, it really is a fantastic, fantastic game, fantastic representation of the genre.
How is the learning curve? This is while I adjust the list, I'm just curious in my own regard.
It's actually pretty easy. The learning curve really only throws a hook at you when you get a new mech, really, because that's the only thing you have to learn. You start with the same three mechs.
How many mechs or classes can you like unlock?
I actually don't know the answer to that.
But there's like multiples,
and each of them can equip different things that do different things. So if you like the Titan mech, right, you can give him like an extra strong punch.
That's what I'm thinking, like spaces. Titanfall 2 mechs. How like one was like a flamethrower and one was like a sword.
It's
kind
more
of
so like one. You know, one will be your close up, your brawler. Uh-huh. One will be your artillery, and one will be like your range, short range sort okay. of thing. One of them can heal. One of them, like I said, can sling other mechs across the map.
Nice.
They do all sorts of different things, and it's really, really cool.
Okay, and that is that for most unique. I'm going to have to charge my phone here, and we're going to take a quick break. As we move through this break and into the next category, our winner for most unique game of 2018 is Yoku's Island Express. You can pick that up on Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. I highly, highly, highly recommend you do, or at least check out some gameplay of it, because it is one of those things you want to see in motion. And the runner-up is Into the Breach. Let's hear a music track, well, like one of the early title themes from Yoku's Island Express, which is up for our best music. Gained a live studio audience in the background. I don't know if you'll be able to hear him, but we got lovely Dan. We referred to him earlier in the show. I forget at what point we were talking about Dan, but
WarioWare
Gold. Oh, yeah, Dan's in the back. Dan, yeah, say hi. Speak up so they can hear you.
Hello.
He might chime in. He'll have to be loud if he chimes in from time to time, but probably not too much. We're gonna do two more categories for you. We're gonna come back from this break with a little bit of a bummer. As we talk about
disappointed game.
Well, the game that made us all disappointed, because most of these games are poo-poo butts. They're poo butts, and no one wants to play them. And then we'll end with a new category. We'll save it. It's a fun category. I think y'all are gonna like it. But let's kick off with guys. We'll say 2018 was overall probably not a disappointment, right?
Overall, I mean, sure.
It was a good game. It was a good year game. We thought 2017 was hot, 2018 hotter, I would say. What, 2018 hotter?
Oh boy, this list.
Steaming hot, 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 I think you might say.
And there is a steaming hot, hot pile of shit in this list. Most Damn. Disappointing nominees. You know, some of these were just thrown on there because maybe one person thought it was not that great. Some of them, we all mutually agree, should be thrown into the dumpster and lit on fire. Let's go. Nominees are Mario Tennis Aces for the Nintendo Switch, Sea of Thieves for Xbox One and PC, Life is Strange 2 Episode 1, that was on Xbox and PlayStation, Fallout 76, that's a game, Rad Rogers, which I think was actually last year, We Happy Few, Walking Dead The Final Season,
Uh-oh.
Earthfall, oh boy. Soul Calibur 6, as we mentioned earlier, Darksiders 3, and this one, which actually was a late entry, Matt. But might be a hot, hot entry, Harry Potter Hogwarts Adventure RPG for the mobile phones. Do we want to... And here's the thing, is mostly this is a place for us, like a nice 30 minutes where we can just... Fuck you guys. Why would you do this to us? Why would you do this to us?
How dare you?
Let's start with We Happy Few.
Yeah, okay. So, We Happy Few. Was I the one who played it?
Yep.
Yes.
When I say We Happy Few... Guys, what do you think that game is? Just from, like, the marketing that was shown.
It's a creepy game about people in masks.
I think it's a creepy game about the Richard V's speech on St. Crispin's Day.
Well, you're close, but you're also not close at all. What do you
That's
think...
That's what it's from. That's what Happy Few is from.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's Shakespeare.
Oh, well, I'm stupid. All right, well, I got outrighted again by the writer expert Shakespeare man himself, Kevin. Guys, what do you imagine it plays like?
I'm sorry, real quick, does that deserve a yay, Kevin?
Yeah. Oh, I don't have that sound bit. I don't have that sound bit. That's from ages ago. Man.
Brought it up last week.
I'm sorry.
Yesterday.
I'm sorry. Okay. That's maybe okay. I do. You'll see. Okay, anyways, what do you think this game plays like?
Well, I thought it played like Bioshock, but not Bioshock.
Okay.
Yep.
You'd be kind of right. So this game starts off, and when it was early access, it was just a survival crafting game. That's what it was. Crafting, surviving.
And Kevin, why didn't you play this game?
Right. That's Kevin's bag. And then it slowly became, like, they were working on it in early access. The official release, they had the story content. You start off, you're playing as Arthur, and he's this guy, and he works, I don't know, he works at the We Happy Few place, and he censors documents. So when people read newspapers, they don't get reminded of the sad past. That's a reoccurring theme, is people who are happy don't have a past at all. Forget all your problems. And then he gets thrown out into, like, the place where people don't take their magical pill, joy, which makes them super happy, because he becomes a quote-unquote downer. So you have to work your way from the outskirts of this idealistic town into them while they all take this drug, and you have to... Look,
This is the plot to Brave New World.
Yeah,
it kind of is. It looked like Bioshock.
That's what I'm listening to right now.
It looked like Bioshock with like a cool, you take a drug and then everything gets all trippy,
It's like Bioshock, but on drugs.
Yeah, but first person action. And then it's like a lot of clunky menus, and you have to pick up like 5 scraps of metal you have to pick up like 5 bobby pins to make a lock pick.
A bobby pin is a lock pick.
Nope, sorry, not in this game. You have to pick up like 3 or 4 of them to make a lock pick. And if it's a window, you gotta make a jimmy bar. This is also a stealth-based game, and one of those nice stealth-based games where if you get caught once, everybody knows that you're doing it, and there's no way to stop and fix the problem except for either running away. And the justification for that, by the way, early on, you see a group of enemies, and there's a lot of them. And if you get caught, the justification is, they're old, and you're young, so you can run fast. And that's okay. I don't like to play a game about running away. I just played Hitman 2, which we'll talk about in another category another day. And that is a perfect example of stealth action. I think this was disappointing because they promised us fucking Bioshock with drugs, man. I want some drugs in my Bioshock more than they already are drugs in Bioshock. And they gave me a shitty crafting game with an English boy. I'm not going to discount the game's crafting is all right. The exploration's kind of cool, and there's a lot of cool imagery. But it was a very different game from what was sold. I think there's other games on this list, Fallout 76.
They were really hyping it up for a while, too.
They did, yeah. It was on everything.
Well, and I think it was looking good enough where Microsoft picked up the developers, Compulsion Games. They purchased them, remember, at that E3 last year where they bought 4 or 5 developers at once? That was one of the developers that they bought. Dan played We Happy Few. Dan, would you recommend people play We Happy Few? That's a yeah or no.
No, not at all.
Okay, well, I mean, that's kind of... That's the same... Dan went in with the same understanding of Bioshock with drugs. The concept is cool. They started off... One of the early trailers, it's you're all these people in weird masks, you know, eyes wide shut bullshit, and they're all trippy visuals, and they're hitting, like, this pinata, and they're like, we got a pinata! And then the drug wears off, and you realize they're all hitting, like, a dead fucking oversized rat. And that was the concept. It's this really weird drug-fueled psychedelic future where people take this super antidepressant, and then no. It was a crafting game. I just really don't like crafting and survival games.
This is absolutely Brave New World.
But I say we leave it on for now. Kevin. I put this on there for you.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Is Rad Rogers one of the most disappointing games of the year it came out that might not have been 2018?
Are you talking to the right person?
Or Tyler?
Yeah, no, I mean, we both...
You were both kind of hot on it.
I think we both feel kind of similar. I think you liked it a little more than I did.
I did, yeah.
You were both very hot on the Kickstarter
for it. I was really disappointed by it, to be honest with you.
I was disappointed, but it's... Probably only because I suck at these games.
Well, I played it too. I liked old school Duke Nukem, and that's kind of what this was based around.
Duke Nukem was a platformer?
Yeah, for Duke Nukem 3D, bud.
Apparently I never played Duke
Nukem
original 3D
Duke Nukem. Is like 3 and then a D, because there was Duke Nukem 1 and 2, and they were side-scrolling platformers.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa, his brain just got boomed.
I understand.
But I went at it at that kind of retro 90s PC platformer, and I was also a little bit disappointed by it.
I mean,
that's why I put it on the list. I thought that you guys were super hot on it when it was in the Kickstarter phase, and then when it released, we played a little bit of it, and we're like, meh, but maybe I'm in the wrong.
I played a lot of Jazz Jackrabbit as a kid.
That's what, I guess, the better
I was kind of hoping it would be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know what it missed
the mark.
Like.
It missed the mark. What it was is, I can't give you a really super compelling reason as to why it didn't hook me, but I played through the first level after being like waiting with bated breath on this game, and I just could not be bothered to play past the first like set
world
levels.
Or two. Yeah. That's kind of where I fell
just,
on it.
I just,
you know what I did get out of this game? A kick-ass soundtrack.
Yeah, soundtrack's good.
So. Okay. I bought the version of the game with the soundtrack, and I really like it. I listen to it all the time in my car.
I also thought that the graphics were kind of cool. There was like a little like a little funny humor to it. I mean, okay, maybe it just doesn't belong on this list, but I wanted you to express that. I think we kind of talked about Rad Rogers in the beginning and then kind of just didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when it was a thing and we were excited.
Life is Strange 2, Episode 2. Episode 1. Episode 2 is actually coming out this month, January. I just want to say that I personally was a little sad because Life is Strange 1 was sweet. It was really cool. It was like a Telltale game, but then it got really crazy trippy and you were like, what the fuck is all this? Time travel craziness. And then Life is Strange 2 comes out and it's this kind of coming of age, fish out of water story about these two Hispanic brothers because... Well, I guess technically this is going to get into slight spoiler territory, but it's like the first 15 minutes of the game. They have to run away from home. Skip 30 seconds if you don't want spoilers for Life is Strange 2 Episode 1, okay? Starting now. They have to run away from home because the brother accidentally knocks out and or kills his neighbor who is yelling things, racist things at his younger brother. And then his dad comes out to investigate after the police arrive, and the white police officer shoots their dad. He just comes out, and he's like, what is going on? And he's like, ah, a brown person, and shoots him. And that is literally the start of the game. That's the whole thing that sends them on this journey.
We talked about this.
Yeah, and then you have this weird like thing with the conservative gas station owner in the middle. And so it seemed like instead of trying to tell a cool, like interesting artistic story, Life is Strange 2 is all about the plight of the minority, but without any of the actual, I don't know, commentary or, not personality, but honesty you want to bring to a story like that. It felt like they were using it as a device rather than trying to say anything about it. And especially in this year, you don't want to, or in the year 2018, if you don't have anything constructive to say politically, maybe don't just have a bunch of scenes of like really divisive politics in your sequel to one of your highly anticipated indie games. Whatever, they did what they were trying to do, but for me, I was looking for more of the sci-fi stuff. Maybe that'll come into episode 2.
I feel like it kind of fell flat for a lot of people who really enjoyed the first one.
Yes, and at the end of the day, it was, as a sequel, disregarding the narrative stuff on a gameplay level. It didn't have as much gameplay or unique styles of gameplay as the first one did. It reduced what the first one already brought to the table, so it was disappointing in that regard as well. But I was just rubbed super wrong by the overt amount of politics and the kind of ham-fisted way they even start the story. Spoilers are done for Life is Strange 2 Episode 1, by the way, so you're safe if you're hearing this. But it is also safe to come off this list, because I don't think it'll come up to runner-up even. There is a few on this tube that I'm seeing.
Just keep going up. Sea of Thieves.
Do you have any last words you want to say on Soul Calibur 6? Are you comfortable taking this down? Because I did give you a section at the end of Fighter where I said just bash it.
So I mean, it's not bashable. It does what Soul Calibur does.
But you were disappointed, which is the point of the category, and I want to enforce that you were very disappointed that you spent a long time making that character.
I mean, I did spend an awfully long time playing Soul Calibur in my younger years. It is one of the fighters I grew up with, one I understand
Soul Cal 2,
pretty
baby.
Well. Yeah.
GameCube, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, how else are you going to play? That one was Link, right?
Yes.
Sweet.
You get Link in that one.
I think I had PlayStation, so Heihachi.
Heihachi, baby. It was a good game.
No.
Xbox got Spawn, which was super, super cool.
Right.
The Soul Calibur 6 just didn't live up to expectations for a lot of people, I think.
It is pretty. It is comfy. if you want to play like a fighter with your friends and you don't mind waiting 2 minutes between games, that you're going to play for 45
seconds.
There's
a lot of shell to load up for Pistachio.
You can make Pistachio Man. It'll just take a long time.
I don't think it's the most disappointing thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's at the same caliber as the rest of those.
And I big loss.
I did that on purpose.
Sure. The one underneath it, I think we can identify as it's Darksiders 3. We can all
hear Josh talk about it, man.
It is a show list. Did any of us play it?
No, I didn't finish the second.
But I've never played
Darksiders. The resounding result. The critic consensus and fan consensus seems to be that if not a bad version of Darksiders, it is a lukewarm received Darksiders. It's like they said, Darksiders is cool. It's like 3D Zelda, right? With some Metroidvania, you gotta get the items. What if we stopped that and then made it a third-person hack and slash with Dark Souls elements?
That sounds horrible.
Isn't that what Darksiders 3 is? You guys listen to Josh complain about it.
Oh, God. Endlessly.
Isn't that what it is?
It's not even...
Endlessly. Disappointing conversation.
Well, no, it's not even like... It's not complaining. He actually like has very valid criticism.
Josh loves that series, and that's why...
And it's never like... It's always like, man, I wish it was better. It's never like, man, this fucking sucked. It's more just like...
Disappointed.
It was almost there. Yeah, I mean, it really is disappointment. It was almost there. They did a couple things wrong, and it ruined the whole game.
Yeah. And even from people who love that series but are still kind of okay on Darksiders 3, my buddy Mike, I think he said, you know, it has its problems. It's maybe a 6 or 7, but I love the series so, so much. But I still think Darksiders 1 and 2 are fucking fantastic.
They really are. And I can agree with that.
3 has been supposedly coming out for so, so long. So to see it finally release in this kind of form.
Just flop like that. Ugh.
Are we happy taking it off right now? Or want to leave it on for... Well, I mean, none of us played it.
Right. It's not our disappointment. It's Josh's.
I mean, and a lot of people's.
He brings that up unbidden.
He does. Quite a lot. It's really kind of... I feel really bad.
I do too. That's one of his things.
Yeah. He's got the fucking tattoo.
Yeah, he does.
Things happen. Mega Man 11. Do you want me to put that on here for a second?
Why do you number 9?
For a second, you always want to talk about how bad Mega Man 11 was compared to other Mega
Man. All right, let's not have this argument because I think it's a pretty decent Mega Man. I think you just played it on the wrong difficulty.
Normal?
Yeah, you got to play it on.
Sorry, I played it on normal.
It's very hard. It's very what?
Got to play it on gear mode.
Double gear, baby. All right, Mega Man, we'll talk about in best action.
I just don't...
Where Tyler can fucking destroy it, I guess.
I don't like the system.
Mario Tennis Aces. Y'all were excited for new Mario Tennis, right?
No.
Well, okay, so then I guess it doesn't deserve to be on this list.
30 love.
Maybe you.
Yeah, well... That's why I...
That's a great joke, too.
I like Mario Tennis on N64. You play doubles with your friends, you play singles with your friends, all sorts of friends. You play, and you hit the ball, and it's a
wrap. If I'm playing doubles, it's Dash. We're getting on some Mario Kart.
Motherfucker. They didn't put out a Mario Kart game this year that sucked. They put out a Mario Tennis game this year that was not as good. The adventure mode was what I was looking forward to, because the thing I really like about Mario Tennis isn't even Mario Tennis. It's Mario Golf on the GameCube, where they made an RPG. It's basically Golf Story. It's Golf Story. It actually might be Mario Tennis, but Golf Story. I just want that.
Mario Tennis Story.
Golf Story was last year. And it's not disappointing. It's fantastic. Golf Story is not a disappointing game at all.
I meant on the list in general.
Oh, no. It should have been. It could be, I guess. But by our rules. Anyways. The adventure mode in Mario Tennis Aces was like, why don't you do a few kind of interesting boss fights? And like 2 hours of maybe some frustrating tennis fights. Tennis fights. And then you're done.
Love tennis fights.
And if you go online, make sure you're not playing against anybody who's playing as Bowser Jr. because you'll lose. We're not patching this game. Also, the connection is poo-poo butts. So playing online, it was 50% of the time, the connection's so bad you can't even play. And the other 50% of the time, someone's playing as Bowser Jr. because Bowser Jr. was broken. He just was broken.
Could he hit the ball from anywhere?
He could hit, yes. There's these trick shots where it didn't matter if you hit to the left or the right. He has extendo arms with the paddles or the rackets on him. Uh-huh. So you could just stand in the middle of the screen, hit everything, and then you had these crazy return shots that were impossible. Like, he was broken. Him and I think Chain Chomp, one of them, were like supremely broken, and Nintendo was like, maybe we'll fix? Yeah, I don't know. And then Mario Tennis, a Mario game came out this year, and people, if you ask somebody, hey, did a Mario game come out this year? They'd be like, no. What?
When did...
What about Mario Party?
Super. That's what people would think of. All right.
When's Deluxe come out?
Deluxe already came out, and that's 2019. I'm sorry, I meant 2018 when I said this year. Anyways, Deluxe is already out. It's a good time if you didn't have the Wii U one. But we'll remove it from this list because I think one or two of these stands higher. Do you guys want to talk about Sea of Thieves right now?
Kevin really likes Sea of Thieves.
I do.
I thought it was disappointing. I mean,
I thought it was gravely disappointing. I thought that would be one of the top three or four contenders
here. I will argue only because...
You really like that fucking shanty
music,
well, huh?
For what it lacked in content, it was still a pretty good game.
It was a fun 10 to 15 hours, or maybe longer.
We had a lot of good time. It was a make-your-own fun game that I think they've now added content to, and I haven't gone back to, so I really can't speak to how disappointing it is.
I feel like coming from the Rare pantheon of games, they were like, it's a fucking pirate adventure.
Right.
And you saw that E3 thing, and there was
very... That's better than Atlas.
But it was... Okay, look.
Wait a minute. I hear really good things about Atlas.
We're not comparing it to a game that's still in early access right now. We're talking about...
by the makers of Ark.
We're talking...
Did I tell you
enough? Oh. Sea of Thieves. The whole thing was go on these pirate adventures with your friends.
Yeah.
And then it was really like go on three pirate adventures with your friends.
They didn't deliver on promises that they implied. They never actually made them outright.
I guess that was the thing, is it's hard to be disappointed when they were just kind of like pirates and then your assumptions
Wait,
filled
did
in
we
all
No Man's yes. Sky this thing?
They did know. They did essentially No Man's Sky this thing.
I don't think they No Man's Sky in the way that it's now a robust game that is considered to be good, whereas No Man's Sky started off as bad, but I think they added content that fleshed out a little bit.
No Man's Sky was like
not good.
Bad. It was bad. It was a fart in a windstorm.
I was hot on it. Like, you guys were hot on Sea of Thieves for the first day, and then I was like, wow, this is trash.
Yeah.
But then they came back around, they added, like, they overhauled the story mode and all that.
From what I understand, Sea of Thieves has had a similar renaissance, but I haven't played it since, so I don't know.
From what I understand, the two DLCs added different stuff in cosmetics, but they didn't, like, add anything in the way of maybe an extra raid or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't change in the way that No Man's Sky did, at least. If you play No Man's Sky now with the patches, the story mode is completely different, but...
The other thing is the content updates are... kind of a drip feed. They're really not like a ton of content when really they should be doing a bigger 360.
You think by now this game would have more than just maybe five missions, is what I'm saying.
Right.
I get that we all liked it. I thought, you guys don't think, Tyler's losing his shit.
I made his geometry joke.
Do we want to keep Sea of Thieves on here, or is Kevin...
I don't think it's that much of a... I mean, compared to the other ones on here, it's not as much of a disappointment.
I would disagree, but then again... I like Rare way more. Banjo-Kazooie is one of my favorite games of all time. And I'm always like, you can do it, guys. This is the one. After all that Xbox Avatar work you did, you think you'd fucking care enough. But, okay, Earthfall. Earthfall is Left 4 Dead, but if it was bad. Just imagine sitting there and someone's like, hey, Left 4 Dead's fun. And you're like, yeah, dude, Left 4 Dead is good. Like, remember playing Left 4 Dead with all your friends? Nope. And you're like, okay, Kevin, maybe we had different experiences.
I didn't have friends.
Okay, well, that's an issue that you'll deal with yourself and your therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And me. I'm your friend. Anyways.
And your therapist.
Yeah. All three in one. Double duty. A spike. Whoops. But then you're like, yeah, I remember those times, my friends. And they're like, it's aliens instead of Left 4 Dead. Zombies. But you should play it. And then you do, but you're by yourself because those friends didn't actually talk to you. And you're let down even worse because Earthfall is not... It's just bad Left 4 Dead. So the reason it's on here is because they sold it as, hey, it's Left 4 Dead, but with aliens, you fucking idiots.
Phil's
and
here.
I played it as, oh, it's going to be Left 4 Dead, but with aliens, because I'm a fucking idiot. And it was a bad game. That's like a four-player co-op thing. The worst thing is that you'll get 30 minutes into a level.
The hardest part of the game is finding people to play with.
Well, you can play with AI. Okay. The worst part of the game is that everything, it plays very similar to Left 4 Dead in that you start a level, you're just trying to reach the end of the level, but instead of like, hey, pick up these crates of whatever to bring to here to do some sort of objective, it is literally, I'm going to press this button and a horde of zombies is going to come. Whether it's a button for a gate, a button for a car, it's always, I'm going to do something that's going to be loud and there's going to be a lot of guys coming, and then you'll get captured by some sort of special monster, and then your enemy AI, or your partner AI is way dumb. Real fucking, like, shoot at the ground before healing you when you're about to die, dumb.
Yikes.
And Kills then, here. Yeah. And then, I think Dan actually watched me play through probably a level or two when he was sitting on the couch.
Now you're in the hot seat, Dan.
That's how, and as Dan shrugs and looks confused, that's about as forgettable as that game was. I'll remove it, because I've already forgotten it. What game were we talking about? We Happy Few was off this list.
It's not off this list. I'm going to defend your decision there real quick before we move on. I think disappointment implies that you were expecting something and didn't get that.
I kind of go when I loaded it up. I think
you were the only person in the world who heard of this game and expected something out of it and then didn't get anything out of it. Therefore, it's a smaller disappointment than the rest of these.
I think it's still a 100% disappointment, though.
But I think since neither of you were disappointed, it still holds weight as it was a singular disappointment, aka mine, versus a group disappointment.
Of the people who played the game, 100% of them were disappointed.
Now, here's the last one I think we should talk about before we start getting into the what wins and what doesn't.
I was upset about this, too.
Not the one my curse is on, the one above it. Oh. Walking Dead, the final season.
Well, this is a bad time.
I got nothing to say about this.
This is, and it's weird now because we're recording this and episode 3 has released. When I put this on the list, it was Telltale Games has shut down after promising a 4-episode series that you paid full price for and are now canceling the series and you only got 2 kind of okay episodes. Also, it's a character you've been following for 10+ years, and you'll never get to see the end of her story. We're leaving on a cliffhanger. That's it. And that's why it was our most disappointing, because it's literally a character I've been following for 5 fucking games.
Tangerine will remember
Tangerine
this.
Will never remember anything, because she's done. Her and fucking whatever, they're done. And just like that, unceremoniously.
What's
but,
her name?
Grapefruit.
Clementine? Yeah, Clementine.
Okay.
It's orange.
I keep calling her Tangerine.
Orange juice. Stop the joke. It's orange juice.
Blood orange will remember this. All
right. But now we have
Nectarine.
Now, in another bafflingly shitty decision by Telltale, they have chosen to, instead of paying all the workers that they, you know, fired any sort of payment, because they never gave them parting bonuses. I can't even think of the word right
Severance.
Now. Severance. Thank you, parting bonuses.
Hey, it's more like the Walking Devs, am I right?
That's what I'm saying. Instead of fucking paying these devs that they just fuck, sorry, you're done. They're like, oh, we're going to make the 3rd episode out of house and release it for you guys. So I'm happy that I get the rest of my game, but I'm sad that like the people who made that kind of mediocre game.
It was probably the same people who make those like YouTube videos for kids, like the Baby Shark
yeah,
videos.
Yeah, so. I still haven't played it, so I'm wondering if I load it up, and it's 3 gigs, so I know it's at least 3 gigs of some shitty animation. It'll be really interesting to see if it's actually a game, if it's like an extended cutscene, if it's just the devs like praying for their lives because they have them
it's
locked
just a,
up.
It's just a video of the CEO dancing around in a banana hammock, just flicking everybody
for
off.
Real, for real.
Then
Walking
cuts
Dead
to an execution.
I think it's most disappointing thing isn't the Walking Dead game, but the hoopla around the Walking mm-hmm. Dead. And I think the same might be said for Fallout 76, but not as. But Fallout 76 deserves what it's going to get. I just think that The Walking Dead, the games weren't as bad as the company firing everybody and then saying, well, we're canceling it. Psych, we're not canceling it. It's weird. I wanted to bring that up for one final time, put the stake in it. And then 2019, they're like, hey, you're going to still play it. So it's not over until it's over.
It keeps coming back to life.
Do we think that that's going to stay over We Happy Few? Do we think that the not Bioshock drug game will beat the half-finished, now finishing Walking Dead? Clementine will forget.
I think, in my personal opinion, yes. I think We Happy Few is more disappointing okay. than The Walking Dead.
Okay. I firmly disagree, but...
You were way more into The Walking Dead games than I have been.
Yes. Yes. Very true. Tyler, you were We Happy Few?
Yes.
Okay. So, Walking Dead final season... Seriously, Orange Juice will not remember this.
The situation is awful.
Orange Juice.
Yes.
Tropicana will not
remember. Tropicana.
We recognize that this is a really bad and awful situation.
All right, so yeah. Our final 3 we got here is Fallout 76, We Happy Few, Harry Potter Hogwarts Adventure for the mobile phone, dude. This was such a last minute. Do we want to talk about...
No.
I just skip it.
Let's talk about the... Okay, let's talk about the length of the game that was playable. 10 minutes. Right?
Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I think it
okay.
was
the Whomping
bit.
Willow or
if,
whatever.
If you try...
No, fucking, I didn't get to the Whomping Willow.
You get to the hentai room of requirement.
Harry Potter, Harry Potter Hogwarts...
I think that's where I was.
Yeah, and they're like, pay 10 wizard coins to get past the Whomping Willow.
Harry Potter Hogwarts Adventure is a...
They're $30
It is
each.
An idle game in its truest form. You play as a newcomer to the Hogwarts. There's no Harry or Ronald or Hermione. This is post that shit. The Dark Lord's already been darked,
but
bro.
Somehow there's always... There's already some asshole kid that...
From Slytherin.
Them, yeah.
Who's doing some weird shit. Anyways.
Really... Picking the good
the
ones
whole
there.
Game is just going from scene to scene, and then when you learn, you'll go to like a potions class, you'll have to earn a certain amount of stars by clicking on interactable items, and when you interact with those items by touching on them, they take up energy, and you only get like 50 energy, and they have to wait a certain amount of hours before your energy, it's basically you're battling timers with timers, and your reward for battling these timers is you get to press parts of the screen, and some Harry Potter jackholes like, I'm a Hufflepuff! And then they're like, no one gives a fuck, bro! Where's Harold? And it's like, well, you guys said what? 10 minutes? 15 minutes of that? How long did you actually put up with it?
I played it for like 6 days.
Okay, so you actually you put some time into it.
Yes, and I am very sad.
You were still hoping that there was a Hogwarts journey there. Kevin?
Nah, I got to that point and I'm like, fuck this. I don't have time for this.
I know someone who beat the first year.
Okay, woohoo! Let me woohoo! Hold your fucking horse. So you did not beat the first year?
No!
Did you just hoo like an owl? Woohoo, yeah, buddy. How many licks does it take to get to the center of this bullshit?
First year?
Because I actually beat the first year. Here's the most disappointing thing. I stuck through. And literally, fuck, this is gonna make me cry. Dumbledore is handing you the fucking house cup for winning the first year. And as it goes to load...
It's like, do you want to spend 50 energy to grab
the
cup?
No, man, this is just what happened to me. This is why it's my misdemeanor. As he hands it to you, it goes to load the next scene, and the game crashes. And then you're forced to replay another, like, three-hour thing to reload the touch. You know, you need more energy. Dumbledore hands it. It crashes. I update the game, reinstall it, replay through that 3-hour thing again.
Oh my God.
It fucking crashes, my guy.
It was,
and
never meant to be.
I was Googling Harry Potter Hogwarts Adventure Year 1 crash like a week after the game had come out. And it was at that point that I was like, do you want to rate this game? And I gave it a 1-star and I was like, it don't work past year 1. And the devs actually asked me to like email them. And I was like, bro, I've already put way too much time into this game. About, I'd say, 10 hours more. And I might have played 11 hours of it.
Did you put your name into the Goblet of Fire?
No, I couldn't get to the year where Harry finds the snake, which is way cooler than the year in which fucking Matt Wizard finds whatever the shit the Slytherin's hiding, I guess.
Real quick, you want to talk about the biggest disappointment of 2019?
2018?
No, 2019.
The year in which we're recording, yes.
The year of our Lord, 2019.
Yeah.
How about the fact that J.K. Rowling said that before wizards got toilets, they would just magic their poop away?
Yeah, I saw
something. Why?
They'd poop and pee where they were standing.
The Pottermore, it was like, did you know?
Yeah.
Did you know?
Before they adopted muggle plumbing methods, wizards just shat and pissed where they were standing.
They just...
No wonder their robes are so billowy.
It's like for some reason, wizards were different from real
humans.
They were
like fucking feral people.
They just were like, oh, we have magical powers. Shit on the floor.
It's like, how dare you come into my defense against the... guards glass.
Vanisho. Did you shit yourself during this dark battle? Vanishio poo-poo. Yeah, we're pulling deep into 2 hours, guys. This is how it gets. Shit. Oh, man. No, for real, J.K. Rowling, fucking stop. After the dumpster fire that was Crimes of Grindelwald, you're gonna tell me that they pooped in their robes and then vanished it away?
They have a face of baby mix and they're pooping.
Yeah, just imagine a wizard.
An adult-ass wizard with a big long beard.
Snape.
Face getting red and scrunched up.
In the middle of Order of the Phoenix. In the middle of Order of the Phoenix, when Snape is digging deep into Harry's mind to protect the link between him and Voldemort, Harry just lets out a shit and goes, what do I do, Professor? And Snape's like, don't worry, in my day, Vanisho. What the fuck? All right.
They all laughed at Snape
bonus
for shitting in a cauldron.
Bonus points if you know what that dark art is called.
What? Vanishing your poop?
No.
Stop it. Charmin.
Speaking about vanishing shit, things that we wish we could erase, not from this year, but from last, 2018, Fallout 76. I guess this is where we decide if Fallout 76 wins or if the fucking shit disappearing pants... No, sorry. This was post shit disappearing pants wizard canon. Mobile adventure idol game is going to win this.
Oh, I have such a headache.
Fallout 76 was a game that Todd Howard got up on stage at E3 and said, it's going to be just like the Fallout games you like with quests, but now it's online. And then they gave us a 24-person game map that's bigger than any other map they've ever made. 24 people. And then it was kind of fun to walk around and collect junk for like 5 to 6 hours. I played it for much longer than that. I played probably like level 30 or something like that. Kevin, you enjoyed it, but
it was okay.
You rightfully enjoyed the stuff that was kind of neat about it.
What I would have preferred is just Fallout 4 online.
Yes. It basically said, here's the crafting stuff and the base building mechanics from Fallout 4, and then we're going to remove the fun stuff from Fallout 4.
Yep.
The thing that was sad about it, and I think one of the reasons it's the most disappointing, is the world was so, it was such a good world for a mm-hmm. Fallout game. It was this kind of weird, crypto-infested West Virginia with some really fantastic. Cool, like there, as I played through, there's some really cool locations, and there's some interesting quests actually within them. There's like a water park where you're looking for this missing kid who got kidnapped at the water park, and you're having to listen back to these audio recordings to try and find where the guy who kidnapped him was. It's a really cool idea for a quest, but it is utterly stilted by the fact that it's all audio logs. You know, imagine playing Fallout 4 and you're searching for a missing child in this water park while you have to like go through all the amusement rides and stuff. It's a cool kind of mystery, but it's all removed by the very stilted nature of there's no NPCs, there's no moving parts, really. It's just audio logs. And then you get kicked from the game. And if you're like me, you get a bug where if you turn on Elder Scrolls Online and then return to Fallout 76, you have to unplug your modem and then replug it in so Fallout 76 works. Explain that shit to me. I threw I threw a lot of information at you there very quickly. But there is a bug in Fallout 76 where you try to join a server and it would ping back and say your connection pinged out. And you try over and over, reset, do everything possible you could think.
And then you turn your Xbox back on, and it fades up from black, and you hear, oh, you're finally awake.
Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. No, for real. I uninstalled the entire game, which is a 60 gigabyte game. Reinstalled it. Still didn't work. Went on Reddit and searched. And some people, because this was early on, they were like, hey, I found out, did any of you play Elder Scrolls Online on your system too? And they're like, yeah. Like, I think it's if you play Elder Scrolls, and then you go and play Fallout, is something gets confused. And I'm, that makes no sense.
The timeline.
Yeah, for real. I mean, they're both Bethesda-made games, but for some reason, you play Elder Scrolls, you can't connect to Fallout 76 until you reset all of your network settings.
So you didn't already connected to Bethesda.
You didn't see, but in a different... I don't...
You didn't see the character pick up the power armor helmet in ESO, the new trailer, and he like brushes it off, and it's like...
Ah, my old
friend.
Did you
see the new trailer?
It's a cat. 5-second cat trailer. That's what was on Twitch. Anyways, Fallout 76, this is what we're talking about, is that Fallout 76, a lot of the shit around it is what made it so bad. When you look at the whole canvas bag, and then it was actually a nylon bag, and they're like, here's your 500 atoms that you get, because we fucked up. And the 500 atoms, wait for it, wasn't enough to buy the in-game canvas bag, because the in-game canvas bag was 750 atoms. And then you had to get your canvas bag or to get your 500 atoms, you had to put in a support ticket. And then Bethesda support help desk got hacked everyone's credit card information got leaked.
That's not even a fumble. That's if you drop the football mid-play.
Forgot how to play the game.
Bounced in such a way that it just flew straight up your ass.
And then it got lodged in such a way that
you trip forward and give the other team a touchdown.
And then the football stays in your ass for an extended period of time, therefore messing up every aspect of your life.
And then comes firing out at a rate that's so intense that it somehow
kills your newborn child.
Kills your newborn child.
That's Fallout 76. I mean, the thing is the game was... Was it bad, Kevin, or was it just not?
Honestly, the game wasn't that bad. It wasn't better than Fallout 4. Like, the gameplay. Yeah, okay. The gameplay, specifically. Mm. Wasn't better than Fallout 4.
Well, yeah, nope, no, I'm going to say, I thought for a second you were saying it was better than Fallout
4. No.
The card system was kind of weird.
Yep. That was an interesting part of it, but it wasn't like a big
thing. It felt just like Fallout 4. It was literally just a reskinned game, as far as I'm concerned.
But a lot of the aspects were worse, and that's embarrassing, considering that Fallout 4 came out, what, like 6 years ago, 5 years? No, less than that. I think that was 2015 or 2016.
I don't know, I was still living with that guy.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
I can't check.
So how are we feeling? Jesus Christ. Is Hogwarts
Honestly,
Adventure
I feel like we can knock off we can knock off We Happy Few, to be completely honest with you.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Tyler, what's your list then?
Well, I mean, my list would be Fallout 76 and We Happy Few.
Okay. You played up to almost the moment when Dumbledore, who is gay by canon, I want to say, hands you the house cup.
What does that matter?
It doesn't, and that's the whole point. Why does it matter that fucking wizards pooped in their pants? J.K. Rowling, write a new book. Why do you have to tell me 20 years later that Dumbledore is gay?
There's so many others. Okay, this is a place in which cauldrons are plentiful, and they still shat their pants.
There's toilets that already existed. Wizards did not exist, predate humans.
Isn't there an entire character in the fucking series that's predicated on living in the goddamn bathroom?
There's so much you could do.
Myrtle.
Yeah. So
how long has she been dead?
She died in the bathroom.
Yeah. Wait, hold on.
After they had plumbing.
Maybe. Yeah.
Hold. I just made a connection. The Crimes of Grindelwald movie. We'll talk about the most disappointing game in a second. But the Crimes of Grindelwald movie takes place in, like...
In the poo-poo pants era? Or?
I think so, dude! Because it's, like, it's... Well, Dumbledore is, like, what, 500 years old? And it's like, Victorian England, and you don't see anyone ever take a shit. You don't, there's very rarely toilets in that game, or in that movie. And they all make funny faces. Is Crimes of Grindelwald when J.K. Rowling instituted the poop canon and we just didn't realize?
Eddie Redmayne was selected specifically for the fact that he can make the most subtle poop face.
Oscar award winning Eddie Redmayne for his theory of everything, followed up by the Newt Scamander poop subtlety. Guys, it's game of the year. Where you don't even know what's going to happen. Holy shit.
So why is the Hogwarts battle worse than...
I'm just saying, because Kevin's surprised that you would pick We Happy Few over Hogwarts poop
battle. Here's the thing. I came into this thinking, Hogwarts, yeah, fuck that. That's not going to last. And now I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, this is...
Probably one of the biggest... When you think of games that you... No. Tyler, hear me out.
It's fucking Harry Potter.
Wait, just hear me out. On the basis,
your parents would probably play this game.
On the basis of you played till year, like almost, you played for 6 days.
Yes, which is not very long.
But it is 6 days. Can you think of another
6 days longer than
he also plays mobile games a lot? But can you think of another game that was an utter waste of your time more than this? That's what I'm struggling to think of, is I got nothing out of the Harry Potter. No nostalgia.
But you wanted to. That's the thing. Yeah, that's where the disappointment comes from.
And it came out of nowhere.
It's Harry fucking Potter. You wanted it to be good, and it poo-pooed all over you and then vanished it.
And then pooped on you again, and you feel double dirty.
You got Dumbledored.
All right. So Harry Potter wins.
No, I'm not saying
Fallout second.
I'm fine with this. That's mine.
Holy shit.
You're outnumbered here.
Oh my god.
Harry Potter Fallout.
All right, Harry Potter's the most disappointing game of 2018.
Vanishing poo-poo.
Well, here's the thing, is that technically...
Fallout 76.
Technically, this is a SGC 64 list, and not a community list. And Kevin, you kind of liked it.
We don't care what you guys think.
No, but I mean, really, this is truly the winner. It won, in all fairness, by our rules and logic.
I was convinced, man. I seriously did not. Literally, I picked up that game and then I put it down within an hour and I haven't thought about it again since.
I thought something was going to happen and nothing happened.
Okay, here's, you know what? It is now about 2 hours and 5 minutes. Do you guys want to try this new... this new category, you want to call it here. We've made it through like 5 categories.
What new category?
I can show you guys real quick. The thing is that Hogwarts Adventure is not up for best music. So
it is on our Game of the Year list, though.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's so you're not going to hear a music selection from... you're not going to hear a music selection from Harry Potter Hogwarts Adventure, but you will hear a music selection from Fallout 76's marketing, at least. Fallout 76 did one good thing this year, and it was revitalize a very beloved song. So here's the Fallout 76 version of Country Roads. Let's go.
Almost heaven, West Virginia. Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is all there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, blowing like the breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong.
Okay, and that's going to be the end of episode 1, but we will be back next week for episode 2 of the Best of the Year Awards. Before we go...
Right now it's like one of those Twitter feeds where you don't know, or Twitter threads rather, they don't know how long it's going to go, so they put a 1 and a slash and then an X.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
this
yeah.
is episode 1/X.
might be 2 episodes, might be 3 episodes, might be 14 episodes. Maybe next year is just all we talk about 2018 and we don't play it. But before we go, we would like to throw a few recommendations at you like we normally do. I don't know if Kevin has a game fact, but we're going to try and keep this really quick. And then before we leave you, we will let you know a few of the categories we're going to cover next week, as well as a music selection from one of our favorite games from one of our favorite categories. So here's some recommendations. Usually we do a something to watch, something to read, and something to play. But let's just kind of throw a bunch of things out. I'll start. I mentioned earlier Black Mirror Bandersnatch. If you like interactive movies, choose your own adventure kind of things. It's an FMV, basically. A full motion video game. You choose choices. It's a horror / thriller. It's crazy cool stuff. Check it out on Netflix. Tyler, do you have something? You watched a movie.
Come back to me.
Okay.
Kevin. I got three. I got one for each.
Yeah.
My play, Hurt World. It's kind of like Rust, but a little V2 easier.
V2 just came out a few days ago.
Yeah, they just launched their V2. They're technically out of early access now. Tyler and I logged 50 hours on this game, like pre-early access.
Yep. Okay.
Alpha.
We've had so much fun with this game. PC, somebody I could never convince to play Rust, he enjoys it. PC.
I cannot stand Rust.
PC,
I like this game.
It's a fun little just goofy, survival game. You build shit. It's good.
Hell yeah.
It was $10 on sale right now, too, I think.
What's your read?
My read is a book called Kings of the Wild.
Nice.
It is a... It's a fantasy novel about a washed-up mercenary who has settled down. He has a wife and a kid now. And he used to belong to this band of mercenaries that was known throughout the entire world and has now retired, basically. He's washed up.
Okay. Sounds fun. Can I interject? Go ahead.
That's okay. The hook is that one of his old band members shows up and he is trying to get the band back together to save his daughter.
Oh, okay.
So it's this aging warrior kind of narrative that's really funny. And a lot of, like, subtle rock references.
A little classic.
A little anachronistic, you know.
Okay, I get you. A little nod and cheek and wink.
Yeah, we're getting the band back together, you know. Seriously, that's...
I get it. My read is Strange Weather. It's 4 short novels by...
Oh, nice.
By Joe Hill. I've been digging into that. Do you have a read off the top of your head, Tyler?
Brave New World.
Brave New World.
If you wanted We Happy Few to be good, just read Brave New World. And you'll be happier with
also,
that.
You'll be a little bit worried about the current administration, I think.
We happy more.
It's from the 40s, so.
You have a watch or a play?
I got a watch.
Oh, yeah, watch, yeah.
Letterkenny just launched seasons 3 through 6 on Hulu. So if you didn't get enough of those guys, you can go watch them beat up some fucking degens from up north.
Dude, I watched a little bit of that show.
The show
it's quite
so
good.
Goddamn fun.
You get on Hulu. I did a watch, I did a read, a play, Celeste. It's free. It's on Xbox.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this in the month
of
January.
Do yourself a favor.
Yeah, you really should download that.
We watched Ready Player One, and I gotta say, as fun and nostalgic as the book was, I think the movie was better.
Yeah,
it was.
I have to agree.
More well done, I guess. It was a legitimate story.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a huge... just sob fest at the end.
Yeah, they really fixed up a lot of things in that.
It was good.
It's the only movie I gave a 5 out of 5 to. I don't think it's a 5 out of 5 from a critical standpoint, but I'm biased, so I gave it to it. Because I was like, this movie's fucking sweet!
And as far as adaptations go, it's like literally the first thing I've ever thought that the movie's better than the book. So,
yeah.
Gotta give it to it for that.
There's some people who will vehemently disagree with you,
yeah,
and
no.
I don't think so. I think the movie's better than the book.
Yeah.
For a play, I recommend to you a mobile game. I recommend to you Night of the Full Moon.
We'll talk about that.
I second that big time.
It is, we'll be talking about it next time, but it's a fun card game. All right.
You'll see.
I always say card game and people are just like, no, not going to play a
trust
card.
Me. It's
just
good.
Play
it.
It's fun
like,
RPG.
It's not like Hearthstone. It's if you were playing Final Fantasy and your moves were cards that you dropped.
It's like Hand of Fate. No, it's not at all.
It's kind of like Hand of Fate without the action.
Yeah.
Okay, it makes sense.
It's
good.
It's a game that encourages you to break it.
Is it a free or play or buy?
Free.
It's a free to play initially, and then if you want all of the classes, it's like $3 or $4.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's absolutely worth every penny.
Do we have a game fact?
We have a game fact.
All right, hit them with a game fact, and then we'll leave you with a few categories and a nice little music track.
Do you guys want to guess All right. Yes. Let's get this. Let's get this out of the way first. We're talking Call of Duty here.
Duty.
All of the Call of Duties collective.
Yeah.
All duties.
Call of Duty, Big Red One,
vanished or otherwise.
Yep. Magical poops.
Do you guys want to guess how many hours have been logged on Call of Duty games?
Oh, fucking.
We'll start with hours, and then you can guess years. Let's put it in that.
You can start with hours, then you can guess years. That's worse.
I'll give you a hint. It's longer than the course of human history.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna 100 million years.
Tyler,
100 million years?
It's not a real thing that could happen. But I'm just
a billion hours.
Oh,
times 25.
25 billion hours.
25 billion hours, or 2.85 million years.
How many Nazis do you think have been killed virtually? Not enough.
25 billion hours.
Yeah,
but. It's not a billion years? No. That's
guys, wrong. My brain is going to fucking melt from the math.
It's a billion days.
2.85 million years.
That's if you count.
Of Call of Duty have been played. Well, I wonder how, like, Fortnite, I bet they beat that.
Unlikely. I don't know. Fortnite's been only, there's only so many years you can fit into 3 years.
Call of Duty's been around since 1990.
Thanks for listening, guys.
I'll just fumble over here.
It's been a good one. It's been a nice kickoff. 2 hours and 15 minutes of our fucking part one of Best of 2018. Wanna thank you for listening. We will definitely be back next week with part two.
There's gonna be a really great category next week that I really hope you all tune into.
Yeah, you're gonna like it. Some other categories we'll be talking about. We'll be doing maybe Best Narrative, unless there's gonna be an Episode 3, then that will be Episode 3. We have Best Multiplayer, Best Online Services or Updates, Best Open World, Best Action. You got tons of stuff. Did I say Best Multiplayer? Did I say Best Visuals? What did I say? There's some cute ones you'll like. And then at the end of the we always list off all the music. You get some big spoilers. We might do Best Moment. That's something we'll have to discuss. But we might do a Best Moment or do a Super Spoiler Cast episode. We're still kind of on the fence. Fun game you can play. We're going to play this this next track to close out. Instead of the SGC64 outro theme, we're going to close out the show with this next track. And if you can guess what it's from, drop us a comment on the episode 118 Facebook fan group thing. You don't win anything. But it's a fun game.
We'll give you a shout out in the next episode.
How's that sound? Yeah, we'll do a little shout out. Be like, love you, babe. That's really all I have. Twitter is real quick. If you want to talk to us on Twitter, the show is at SuperGameCast64. But if you want to talk to me, I'm at SGC64 Matt.
I'm at Gingerbeard_man. Beer like the beverage.
I'm at T Tremalio.
And for real, the Facebook fan group, I've been seeing a lot of people accidentally go to the page. It's a group. The page is still a thing. Like, I see it when you comment on the page or whatever, but most of the action is happening at the Facebook fan group, and if you look at the pinned posts on the Facebook fan page, you'll see the group. It's all very confusing. 2018 has been a great time. Tyler, he's now seeing a picture of Donald Trump with all the fast food, so that dates us. Okay. It's Donald Trump with a hamburger mask
standing in front of a fucked up, like a pile of Wendy's sandwiches on a silver platter.
Alright, guys, thanks for listening to episode one. We'll see you next week for episode two of Best of 2018. Till then, imagine a world completely underwater. Say spicy, all the games are here, and you have leveled up, but not a bunch. Okay, love you, bye!